Thank you, Steve. It's us. Hi, guys. It's Bill Left and Wendy Snyder making a triumphant return to the airwaves after a long, long absence.
It was one day.
I guess.
I love Judy Pylak trying to do my voice. That was really funny.
Judy's version of your voice was a lot deeper than it actually is. She'll get it eventually, but you heard she...
Well, you kept saying deeper, yeah. And then too scratchy. So that made me feel good. Thank you.
You're welcome. That's my gift to you.
I appreciate it.
That's my gift. You just took a day off to just hang with your family, right? That
I
was
did.
Nice.
Jimmy Mack's in L.A. He attended some screening of some Star Wars thing. The Clone Wars, Rebel Force. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
So I took the day off on Easter Monday.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people did, not just you. The town was empty.
I never heard of Easter Monday. When our kids were little, we had them at a home daycare.
Yeah.
And Gail and Angelo were great. They had a bunch of kids, and they gave a list of dates they would take off for the whole year.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave it to us, and it's like we take one vacation in mm-hmm. summer, and then, of course, we're off Easter Monday, and we're like, what's Easter
Monday?
That's
a new thing. That never used to be. But I'm telling you, yesterday, the city was at about 30% capacity.
Really?
I don't know what happened, but everybody was taking the day off.
Because I know a lot of people are on spring break this week.
Yeah.
So I love traffic when it's spring break.
Because Easter is a little bit earlier this year.
Very much so.
The rules of when Easter takes place baffle me.
Well, it throws me because Passover is so much later, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, I got to give you guys a news story
here.
Okay, talk.
Donald Trump's campaign manager, Corey Lewandowski.
Yeah.
You know, he's been involved with a couple of altercations.
Yes.
With a reporter.
Forcibly removing people or touching them.
Yeah. Well, he was arrested this morning. This, according to police, has been arrested and charged with misdemeanor battery after allegations of grabbing a reporter at a Jupiter, Florida news conference. That came on March 8th, if you remember. That was the woman who wrote for the Breitbart News.
Oh, right.
That was sort of the start of the attention on 41-year-old Lewandowski. But we're getting word this morning that he has been arrested and charged with misdemeanor battery in connection with that incident.
The shoe is starting to fall off.
The shoe's been falling off since he announced, Wendy, and there's apparently Velcro all around his foot because nothing has really had an impact.
Well, he also had a media manager, like a PR person, who was part of the campaign, and I read over the weekend that she's done. She quit.
But not just quitting. She's coming out saying...
Kind of a scathing letter saying, you know, this man only cares about himself. He is not going to help you. I don't know what is happening, but I honestly feel like I'm in a dream and I'm just going to wake up.
Well, if you go back in history, there have been easily a half a dozen different separate incidents, maybe more than half a dozen, where if this were any other time and any other person, it might sink him. But it not only doesn't sink him for reasons no one can quite figure out, it just makes him more popular and stronger.
I think you could probably argue it's been once a week. I think you
about
could probably
once a week.
No, I mean it.
No, you're right.
I think you would find something once a week that would have sunk any other candidate. He started, you know, by talking about the rapist coming in from Mexico.
Yep.
That was
yep.
his introduction.
Yep.
And big protest then, but it only made him stronger. And then from there on, probably every week.
And that's why this woman is bailing. She said that at first, like everyone else, it was exciting. It was a non-governmental person who was going to change things and shake things up.
Yeah.
And she liked it at first. And now it's like he can do no wrong. Anything he says, he's fabricating things and he's saying things. And, you know, she just wanted to warn us that, you know, be careful if you vote for this
right.
guy.
Right, right. I also don't remember, and if either of you can, please tell me, because I can't. I can't remember a time where so many people in the media came out against a potential candidate. I mean, just not even thinly veiled, have just said point blank,
don't do
it. This guy is a right. huge mistake. This guy is the beginning of the end. Don't vote for this man. I don't remember a time where that's ever happened.
Ever.
Where, again, people listen and nod and go, well, we're going to. So thanks for the warning, but we're still going to.
But that's why it helps. Because, you're going to tell us what to do. We're going to do the opposite. We all have rebels in our soul.
I know. I heard, what was the name of the author? There's some author who was on talking about the fact of how history will treat this. And I can't figure out how history will treat this either, because we're in the middle of it. And it seems so surrealistic that at some point somebody will figure out exactly what why this is.
Well, they better hurry, because the world's going to end
very soon. Very, very soon. So what will happen, Steve, is now they keep talking about the possibility of a brokered convention. And then your options are for them to say, well, Trump doesn't have enough delegates, but he's the closest, so we have to give it to him. Or then the other option is, we, the heads of the Republican Party, don't believe in this man, so we're going to go off the board with somebody else. And then Trump has suggested that that would lead to bad things, rioting and that sort of thing.
He says he doesn't want that, but can see how it could happen.
Right.
Right. So the party apparatus, the leaders are desperately trying to figure out. Remember, they can't stand Ted Cruz.
Right. Right. That's obvious, isn't it?
I think it was...
but yet they want him.
Well, they're desperate for him now. It was Lindsey Graham, I think, who said you could kill Ted Cruz on the floor of the Senate and not find a witness for the prosecution. These are the people who work with him. And when you said you couldn't think of so many people in the media being so clear about a candidate,
yes.
I don't remember ever there being this willingness, acceptability to just say, well, this guy's not a likable guy.
Right.
But so many people don't like Ted Cruz anyway. So now they're desperate to get Ted Cruz. And so they're trying to figure out a way. They're going after some of Trump's delegates to see if they could, if there are some rules that maybe they could get them to switch. But it's going to be a mess.
But do you see it this way? Like, at this point, the Republicans love the fact that Kasich is hanging around, not standing much of a chance, but hanging around, and that Ted Cruz is not the greatest of options, but an option because that keeps the delegate number low for Trump. So that puts it in the hands of the Republican Party saying, didn't have enough delegates, so it really is up to us.
Yeah, but I just don't, I know people disagree. I don't think you can give the nomination to Kasich if he's only won one or two states.
They have to go to somebody else, like Ryan is the guy who...
It would seem to me that it'd be easier to go outside of the current candidates than it would be to go to the guy who's, Kasich does very well in possible polls against Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders. He looks like he would be maybe the strongest candidate. But if you keep putting him out there and the Republican Party voters keep rejecting him, it's hard to imagine them putting him up.
It'd
be easier to sell someone from the outside coming in.
The woman who, a former director of a pro-Donald Trump super PAC, officially defected from Team Trump on Monday. She put an essay out. Her name is Stephanie Sigelski, and we'll take a break and we'll read it. I'm willing to listen to someone who says, I'm voting for Trump and here's why. Because if you can back things up that you say, and if he can back things up that you've said he's going to do...
Right.
It's your vote.
But so many of the people, when asked that question, and I've heard so many people, if you're voting for him, what do you see in the guy? And they always say the same thing. They go, well, politicians have done us wrong. And this is our way of saying we have to go to somebody who's not a politician. And I understand that because I agree. Politicians have done us wrong. But
he's not the answer.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
All right. You have the freedom of choice, your power to vote, do it, but use it wisely. And just, I love when you talk to somebody, oh, Hillary's a liar. I go, oh, really? What'd she lie about? Benghazi. Okay. What does that mean? I don't know.
That's it.
It's just
We're
like
done.
Sports radio. People are just regurgitating stats.
Yeah. Yeah.
Seriously.
No.
With nothing to back it up.
I know. All right. A break and then more of this. You want to jump in, please do. 312-981-7200. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder and it's WGN.
All right. The woman I was referring to is Stephanie Sigelski. And a day ago, she posted an open letter to Trump voters from his top strategist turned defector. And it was on a website called xojane.com.
Uh-huh.
It's been picked up. I saw it in the New York Daily News.
Yeah.
I've seen it everywhere. Trump's people are saying, I don't know this woman.
Oh.
She's never worked for us. She claims she was a strategist.
Uh-huh.
And even Trump's most trusted advisors didn't expect him to fare this well, is what she's saying. Almost a year ago, recruited for my public relations and public policy expertise, I sat in Trump Tower being told that the goal was to get the Donald to poll in double digits and come in second in delegate count. That was it.
Why? Why would they want to come in second?
They just wanted to make a mark. Huh. Well, the Trump camp would have been satisfied to see him polling at 12% and taking second place. But it, bigger things happened. And she says, it pains me to say, but he is the presidential equivalent of Sanjaya on American Idol. President Trump would be President Sanjaya in terms of legitimacy and authority. She's taking full responsibility for helping create this monster. And in a nutshell, she says she respects Trump's fans. That's why I can no longer support the man himself.
That's an odd reason.
She just goes on to explain, you know, my support for Trump began probably like yours did, similar to so many other Americans. I was tired of the rhetoric in Washington.
But as we mentioned a little while ago, that's understandable.
Right. And that's why she decided to jump on board.
I think few people, if you polled 1,000 random people, few people would say, I love what's going on in Washington. Those politicians are nothing but good for all of us. Let's continue. Everyone's fed up to some extent with politicians.
And that's why she jumped on to help Trump.
Right.
In 2015, Stephanie Sigelski says, I fell in love with the idea of the protest candidate who was not bought by corporations. A man who sat in a Manhattan high-rise that he had built, making waves as a straight talker with a business background, full of successes and failures, who wanted America to return to greatness. I was sold. So last summer, she signed on as the communication director of the Make America Great Again Super PAC, P-A-C. Don't know what that stands for.
So we don't know, according to this, we don't know exactly what her relationship was at all directly with Donald Trump. She says she did some strategizing for him, but it's not like she was handpicked by him.
No.
Or they worked together to figure out his strategy.
Right.
It doesn't seem that hands-on.
So she loved everything, and it wasn't long before every day I woke to a buzzing phone and a shaking head because Trump had said something politically incorrect the night before. I've been around politics long enough to know that the other side will pounce on any and every opportunity to smear a candidate. But something surprising and absolutely unexpected happened. Every other candidate misestimated the anger and outrage of the silent majority of Americans who are not part of the liberal elite. So with each statement came a jump in the polls. Just when I thought we were finished, the Donald gained more popularity. I don't think even Trump thought he would get this far, and I don't even know that he wanted to, which is perhaps the scariest prospect of all. Again, this is Stephanie Sigelski. She is a former strategist with... this particular, the direct communications director of the Make America Great Again Super PAC.
Do you agree with the part where she says, I don't think even he expected
yes.
to get this far, do you?
Yeah. I think we've discussed that before. I think he just wanted to make a difference and shake things up, and he was like, whoa, I'll keep going.
Right.
Well, he certainly was, Donald Trump was certainly never prepared or equipped to go all the way to the White House, but his ego has now taken over the driver's seat and nothing else matters. The Donald does not fail. The Donald does not have any weaknesses. The Donald is his own biggest enemy. And so she now apologizes because she respects Trump's fans, but she just wants you to know that this guy is... probably going to lie to you, and he only worries about himself.
It's interesting to me that you keep using that. Does she use the word fans?
Yes.
She does.
That's on her...
Not voters, you know, or supporters.
You're right.
That's an interesting term.
But you know what, Steve? Even though they fit into both categories, fans is almost more accurate.
Well, you wouldn't say Bernie Sanders fans or
right.
Ted Cruz fans.
But with Trump... Fans is almost right. I mean, I've only seen this on TV, but when he does these rallies where he's almost doing stand up as opposed to being a political candidate, the crowd there, I think, fits more under the bracket of fans than supporters. Or it just, that's the attitude I get from those things. So I don't know.
And she says the hard truth is Trump only cares about Trump. And if you are one of the disaffected voters, one of the silent majority like me who wanted a candidate who could be your voice, I want to speak directly to you as one of his biggest advocates and supporters. He is not that voice. He is not your voice. He is only Trump's voice. Trump is about Trump. In fact, many people are not aware of the Trump's campaign internal slogan, but I will tell you, it is stolen from a make-believe television presidency on the West Wing where Martin Sheen portrayed President Bartlet. The slogan on the show amongst the idealistic group of Bartlet's staff was, "Let Bartlet be Bartlet." Inside the Trump camp, the slogan has become, "Let Trump be Trump."
That's kind of obvious, though. is that they can try to mold him or change him, but he doesn't seem moldable or changeable, does he?
No, I don't. She goes on to continue, and you can read it all yourself, exojane.com. I don't dismiss any single Trump constituent, which is why I believe it's important to let you know that the candidate does. Mm-hmm. I, too, think our country has gone off track in its values. I, too, think that we need a dramatic change, of course. But I am, in my heart, a policy wonk and a believer in coming to the table with necessary knowledge for leading the free world. So she just wants you to know and to look into this because he says something. How's he going to make it happen? Now it's turned into just a popularity contest. It's, which I guess the presidential election is, but
it's the ultimate popularity contest.
Yeah, but again, I keep thinking of all these terroristic cells that are all over the place.
Yeah.
And Trump is our face to go talk to other countries about this. I'm scared.
Well, that's, you know, this has been well documented, but his statement about when they talked about this and he said, well, we'll go after their families.
Oh, my God. He rescinded that, didn't he?
Well.
But waterboarding's still okay.
He tried to clarify that that didn't mean that we'll kill. So we'll go after their families is still kind of up to your interpretation, but it's still illegal.
Well, I'm interested. He appeared before the Washington Post editorial board. And I don't know if you guys have heard this audio or read the transcript, but, you know, they said, well, what are you going to do about ISIS? Would you intervene with ISIS? And he goes, I'm a counterpuncher. He says, you know, people have been coming after me, Jeb Bush, and I went after Jeb Bush for low energy. And, hey, this is a good-looking crowd. I want to know who I'm speaking to. Who are these people? And he just didn't even address. And then his campaign manager said, all right, we got 5 minutes left.
Yeah, right.
And then they cut it out.
No one even noticed that probably because they're just sitting there with stars in their eyes looking at him going, that's my candidate.
They noticed. This was the editorial board of the Washington Post. So they noticed it, and it's been written about. And you can read it and even listen to the recording. But it was the best example I've seen so far of him sort of evading a pretty substantive, basic question when it comes to foreign policy.
All right, let's do this. Let's take a break. We've got a lot more to discuss on this. Stick around. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
It's Bill and Wendy here on 720 WGN. And as Steve Bertrand has reported, Donald Trump's campaign manager was arrested. So it's not like we're making this stuff up. And therefore, since Donald Trump is in the news, we talk about Donald Trump. There is a woman that has said she worked for the political action committee that was behind the Making America Great Again.
Yeah.
And now she's coming out against Donald Trump. I don't know what her, you know, anybody can post anything on the internet, I'll tell you that.
Sure.
But that's information that is pretty interesting to read.
Real quickly, though, do you think in the case of, Steve, help me with the name, it's Corey Lewandowski, correct?
Yep, okay. Corey Lewandowski.
So with Corey Lewandowski, if this, again, this is just to show how different his campaign, Trump's campaign is from anybody else who's ever run for president. If it's anybody else and this story comes up, you say to yourself, I think maybe it's time to part ways with Corey Lewandowski. He might not be in our best interest. I don't see that happening in this case, do
no.
you?
Well, no, the Trump campaign's already out with a statement saying that he is completely innocent.
Yeah.
And that he will plead not guilty. Now, Ted Cruz had an aide, Rick Tyler. And if you're a fan of the political shows, Rick Tyler was pretty well known to you probably. He was kind of his communications director.
Yeah.
And he made a flippant remark to Marco Rubio. Rubio, I think, was in a hotel lobby reading a Bible or something.
Yeah.
And this guy, Rick, walks by and makes a comment like, well, all the answers aren't there. And
good.
He apparently later said he didn't know it was a buy. I don't know. There was some confusion. But boom, Cruz fired him that afternoon as soon as he was out. So I mean,
that's not even that bad.
Well, it is if you're an evangelical trying to get evangelical votes.
Right. But it's salt in the wound.
Right. But now this guy, Rick Tyler, is still on all the shows talking on behalf of Ted Cruz. I guess he's just not getting a check from him. I don't really get it. But yeah, generally these people are let go pretty quickly. But you remember, too, though, there's not an apparatus with Donald Trump. It's a very limited number of people.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if he were to fire Corey Lewandowski, you know, that would be like 25% of his brain trust or maybe more.
I don't even see him considering that.
No.
It's not in his makeup.
It doesn't matter.
I don't think it does. No.
It certainly doesn't. I have a few calls here, and then it's a Tech Tuesday. We'll talk to Bridget Carey from CNET. Hi, Maureen.
Hi, you guys. I love you.
Thanks, Maureen.
We love you back.
Oh, thank you. Mr. Trump is a crazy, misogynistic, egotistical crazy man. And my take is that in the beginning, he was kind of laughing with us. And me, I'm not in the us. He was laughing with us. Then he was laughing at us. And now that this train keeps rolling, he can't stop because he is such an egotistical crazy man. And I agree with what that woman says, and I've always firmly believed that he's never wanted to be the president of the United States. It would interfere with his daily life. And
in his defense, though, if you were running for something and you were just kicking ass and taking names, wouldn't you keep running?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, we all would.
Right, and that's the very, very scary part of this whole situation is that people are going along with this. I shake my head all the time. In the beginning, my son, this is months and months ago, he was all, I'm voting for him and everything, and thankfully, the light bulb went off on him early in this situation because I kept saying to my son, you have sisters and a mother. You have sisters and a mother. This guy's a misogynist. This has got to stop. I don't understand how people are still going along with this. And like I said, I think in the beginning it was a chuckle for everybody. There's nothing funny about this anymore. A guy in his campaign is charged with assault, and this is okay.
I'm serious.
It's a crazy world. Maureen, thank you very much.
Very serious. Yes, you all have a great day.
Thanks,
thank
Maureen.
You
take
as
care.
Well.
Do you remember the first time, like, so he announces his candidacy, and then we come in on a Monday, and I say, and I'm joking, and I go, well, now that, you know, future President
right.
Trump is in the running, and we all laughed, because that was never going to happen. He'd be the first guy to drop out. He wasn't going to be an option. Except,
little did we know.
Except we were wrong.
Remember the Daily Show, the last Daily Show, was the night of the first Republican debate.
Mm-hmm.
And Jon Stewart was laughing like, well, I picked a terrible year to go out. But I think, you know, even then the idea was it wasn't going to last this
right.
long.
Right.
All right, George, you have another side of the coin here.
Well, yeah, maybe so. It was interesting to hear you two speaking about your surprise that the media has uniformly derided Trump, and it doesn't seem to be resonating with the public, or however you chose to put it. I'd be interested in knowing what you think that tells you about the esteem in which the public presently holds the media. And I do not count myself as being a fan of Donald Trump. In fact, I find that rather patronizing. However, I am a fan of flushing the political ruling class that has hijacked this country. When our choices are a jackass like Donald Trump, who truly doesn't have the...
You say that lovingly, right, George?
I say it honestly. Doesn't have the pull or the clout to really do much of anything. And compare that with a political career politician, oligarch opportunist like Hillary Clinton, who has demonstrated her incompetence by her handling of a private server for emails when she was Secretary of State. Anybody who's ever dealt with a hacker knows what risks there are there.
Yeah, but nothing happened. Everybody brings up the same two things.
Yes, it is. Well, in my opinion, it is, and apparently in the opinion of a lot of people who are going to be making the decisions at the polls, it is.
But George, really quick, because we don't have a lot of time, we're with you. We feel that we have been treated poorly by politicians. There's
yep.
no question about that.
And locally, their lapdogs in the media, may I add.
And, I'm sorry, say that again?
And their lapdogs in the media.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I understand
absolutely.
That criticism as well. But please know, even if you feel that way, and I feel that way, and I think Wendy feels that way, that a politician is going to just do or say anything that they want to get elected. It just doesn't matter. The truth means nothing to them. I get that. But Trump is not the guy to fix that. He's an alternative. He's not the right alternative, is he?
So who is? Hillary Clinton?
No, I didn't say Hillary Clinton was.
Yeah, we've never said Hillary.
What are our choices? What are our real choices? Who are the viable choices? I mean, Bernie Sanders, a socialist, he'll never be elected. I think the man is a yutz, but at least he's sincere.
Yeah.
At least he's honest.
Yeah.
And you know, Donald Trump, rather have a flash-in-the-pan jackass, get rid of him once and for all, than to perpetuate the Hillary Clinton stranglehold on this country. The woman screams about income inequality. She makes $160 million a year, never achieved much of anything in private business. All of it was politics. Recall she was broke when she left the White House.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is our choice. You know what? I'd rather take the jackass than this clown car.
All right.
Well, that's your choice, George, and I appreciate you coming on the air and talking about that. That's what this is.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for the opportunity.
Of course.
Sure.
Thanks, George.
We're in trouble.
Always. All right. A break, and then we'll talk about Tech Tuesday. That's coming up in just a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Bridget Carey's here. It's Tech Tuesday. She's over at the CNET. Do you like the CNET? That's where you can hear.
CNET.com.
CNET.com is your answer for all your CNET needs. Bridget, if you wouldn't mind, the top story in the world of tech has to be what's going on as into breaking into the iPhone.
The FBI did it.
The FBI did it. They don't need anyone to show them how. They figured out how, right?
Well, the FBI says they did it, if you want to be a skeptical.
Oh,
conspiracy theorist.
Yeah. So, okay. So the U.S. Department of Justice revealed in a court filing that it no longer needs Apple's help to break into that iPhone 5C used by Saeed Farouk, and that it figured it out with the help of a third party. But when reporters get on the line with in a conference call with them, they are not revealing any other detail. So when you ask, what proof can you give us that you did this? You know, they don't have to give you anything. And so there's a lot of questions more than there are answers. We don't know what they got off the phone. We don't know how they broke into the phone or who this third party is. And there's no clue that they'll even reveal this information at a later date or why they want to keep it quiet. Like, there was even asked, like, well, why, like, is there a reason you don't want to say? No, they don't even answer that, you know. So, yeah, they just kind of backed out of this. Apple's off the hook for now, I suppose. But it does leave a lot more questions.
I just am surprised that they needed Apple's help. You'd think the FBI would have the top hackers in the world, you know, on their payroll. And I don't understand why people wouldn't believe that they got in there. They're not going to release any information. I'm such a trusting idiot, aren't I?
Well, you know, obviously there's no motivation for the FBI to give you any details in this case.
But why lie, Bridget? What's in it for them to lie about this? That doesn't make sense, does it?
Well, I'm not trying to be total conspiracy theory person over here. I'm just saying it's a matter of why maybe this was a court case that just they want to back out of. I don't know. That would be one theory. But honestly, if they did break into it, what they're saying right now in their filing is that this particular case only involves this one iPhone for now, and it's possible someone could use this for another iPhone in the future, but it's just for like this particular instance that they figured out a backdoor.
Yeah, they'd never use it again ever, right? They're honorable.
Right.
They would never.
Or maybe there's a specific thing about this one phone that they were able to exploit that they can't for others. One thing to keep in mind, this is the 5C. This is an old model.
Right.
If you have a newer model, the exploits that people were, you know, giving theories on how maybe they did break in, because we don't even know, but there were some theories out there, it wouldn't apply to the newer models that have a fingerprint scanner. So if you have a fingerprint scanner on your iPhone, you know, you can feel a little bit better about the whole thing because there's an extra chip inside of those phones that makes it harder compared to the cheaper iPhone 5C.
All right. Skype is very popular. I've used it frequently when you want to talk to people in various locations. But now it might be like Princess Leia coming out of R2-D2. It might be a hologram image. Is that true?
Okay. Well, not Skype itself, but Microsoft's showing off technology, and Microsoft owns Skype. They're showing off technology on how you can be a hologram inside someone else's room and have a live conversation with them, full size. You just have to wear that really dorky HoloLens headset. So it's something that you and I can't buy. It's not open to the public right now. But
when it is, sex is going to be even better when your loved one is out of town.
Yep.
There you go. Yeah, who needs a holodeck? what it involves is a lot of strategically placed cameras around the room to capture you in a 3D way. But there is a video online showing that they made it happen. So if you get around the fact that you have to have a crazy headset and wear the headset to see the other person and have a bunch of cameras, you know, perfectly placed in this room, you know, but you could have a teacher if you want to be, you know, good about the future in how you're thinking. What if a teacher from afar could talk to a classroom or a visitor, you know, and kind of explain something in person? That's kind of a neat thought, but then everyone right now has to wear these goggles, so I wanted to come out of a droid like, you know, Princess Leia. That would be nice, but right now it's all through the headset.
The FBI will figure out how that works, and then they'll all have our own droids.
Oh, yeah.
Drones, no. Droids, yes.
That's coming.
What else is coming up on the CNET update today at CNET.com?
Well, there's a lot of, I guess, hoopla going on right now about Instagram because there's talk that they're going to change their algorithm so that you won't see the most recent post up top when you load it up, but rather Instagram wants to do the Facebook thing, because it's owned by Facebook, and show you what it thinks you care about more up top. And there's outrage among all the celebrities that use Instagram and all the big accounts saying, like, oh my gosh, this is terrible. Well, turns out this is not happening today, like everyone's saying, so there's some false information out there. This is something that could take weeks or months for them to roll out. And if you go on Instagram, you'll notice everyone's like begging you, please turn on notifications so you get a push alert every time I make a message. You'll never miss me. Well, that getting a ding every time someone posts sounds pretty awfully annoying to me. But nevertheless, we'll have to just wait and see how it really works out.
You're not 13. 13-year-olds love that stuff.
Yeah, I guess maybe I'm not
not the target
I'm
demo.
Not on that one.
I just joined Snapchat, so I'm learning about all this too. So I'm jumping into
that's
the future.
A whole other world, baby.
It's another time suck. Bridget, thank you so much. She's Bridget Carey. You can watch her CNET update every day at CNET.com. Thank you so much on a Tech Tuesday.
Thanks, take care.
Thanks, Bridget. Quick break and then some news. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
50 scores. And the Hawks have won two in a row and clinched the playoff spot.
Tonight, the Hawks look to keep the win streak going on the final approach to the playoffs. Blackhawks Wild from Minnesota. Judd at 6:30. John and Troy at 7. On Blackhawks Radio 720 WGN.
Presented by the Village of Bedford Park.
Homeowners, if the tire on your car goes flat, you fix it. If your heater breaks down, you fix it. Right now, if your home has low water pressure, or you get scalded in the shower when someone flushes, or you or your neighbors have already had leaks, in other words, your pipes aren't working, you can get them fixed too, in as little as one day. I'm Jeff Butler, owner of Repipe Specialists. For a limited time, on approved credit, when you repipe with us, we'll give you 0% interest for an entire year. That's right, a repipe, wall patching, and a lifetime guarantee, all at 0% interest. Get great pressure, clean, clear water, be able to take a shower, and run the washing machine at the same time. We've helped over 30,000 homeowners just like you get new, high-quality pipes without a fuss. So repipe with us, and you too can enjoy great water pressure in your home with a lifetime guarantee. Just call 800-737-4746. That's 800-REPIPING. 800-737-4746.
Judd Surratt and Troy Murray give you all the Blackhawks storylines you need to know. Check it out in tonight's Blackhawks pregame show. Brought to you by Wintrust Community Banks. Find your local Wintrust Community Bank at wintrust.com/find us.
It's Kristen Decker of WGN Radio, and I've got some exciting news to share about my favorite hair care products, Ovation Cell Therapy. I want to introduce you to their latest in color therapy treatment, the Ovation Cell Therapy Color Protection System. With this new color protection system by Ovation, more color attaches to the hair for deeper, richer color. It's a shampoo that actually prolongs the color of your hair, extending the coloring process. For a limited time, Ovation will pay your shipping costs with the purchase of the new Ovation Cell Therapy Color Protection System. This offer is not going to last long, so hurry to ovationhair.com to place your order. If you're a first-time customer of Ovation Hair Care products, be sure to select WGN Radio when you check out for a special introductory discount. OvationHair.com and WGN Radio at checkout to get a special discount. Remember, you also get free shipping with the Ovation Cell Therapy Color Protection System. Get thicker, stronger, longer hair, and save with Ovation Cell Therapy.
All right, it's news time, a little past 11 o'clock. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. This news report is sponsored by Builder Supply Outlet, here with the news, Steve Bertrand.
Mostly sunny at O'Hare. It is 47 degrees. The campaign manager for Donald Trump has been charged for grabbing a reporter at a rally in Jupiter, Florida earlier this month. ABC's Brad Melke has details.
Corey Lewandowski is charged with misdemeanor battery for yanking Breitbart reporter Michelle Fields by the arm as Donald Trump walked by. Despite the campaign manager's claim that she was fabricating the story, police say they reviewed video that is consistent with her account and that Lewandowski even stepped in front of a Secret Service agent to pull her aside. Fields showed police her arm, revealing finger-shaped bruises.
The Trump campaign says Lewandowski is completely innocent and will plead not guilty. Big presidential endorsement announced this morning in Wisconsin. WGN's Ryan Burrow has that.
Wisconsin Republican Governor Scott Walker telling WTMJ in Milwaukee,
"I've chosen to endorse Ted Cruz."
He says the two have similar backgrounds. Both are the sons of preachers.
"We actually literally came of age under President Ronald Reagan. And I just see someone who's willing to uphold those same principles. And that's why I'm proud to endorse."
He says he plans to campaign with Cruz this week. Polls show a tight race between Senator Cruz and Donald Trump in the Dairy State 1 week ahead of the primary. Ryan Burrow, WGN News.
Brazilian soccer legend Pele is suing Samsung in Chicago federal court, claiming the electronics company improperly used his identity in the New York Times. Sound familiar? It's similar to a Michael Jordan case from last year that Jordan won big. And Pele is using Jordan's lawyer. The foreign minister of Cyprus says the Egyptian who hijacked a domestic Egypt Air flight and then diverted it to the island nation appears to be psychologically unstable. The official says it was clear from the beginning of the ordeal that it was not an act of terrorism. The hijacker surrendered, was arrested, no one hurt. Residents of some Chicago neighborhoods are not convinced Mayor Emanuel's selection process was as thorough as they'd like in choosing the next police superintendent. In fact, former candidate for Congress Javier Salas says the mayor appointed someone he can manipulate.
"I don't think he's the person that is going to be an independent mind. My first question as a citizen will be, where was he during all of these problems, not only with Laquan McDonald, but with all of the police abuse in the past?"
Salas and others plan to protest over the Eddie Johnson selection later today. In Mundelein, police say a member of a police explorers youth program is charged with stealing a taser. The Tribune says they charged an 18-year-old Waukegan man. We'll check your money, sports, traffic, and weather next on WGN.
Let's clear up a few misunderstandings you may have about PermaSeal. Hi, it's Lou Manfredini. Roy Spencer started PermaSeal back in 1979, and it's still a local family company. Doing the right thing and standing behind their work is the only way they do business. PermaSeal does both small and big jobs. And we hear some sad stories from homeowners who wait until they're ready to sell to get their leaky basement fixed. And that's when they find out it was only a couple of $100 to have a permanently dry basement. Most of PermaSeal's warranties are for the life of the structure and transferable to the new owners. They offer a free estimate, no haggle pricing, and a price assurance guarantee, so you can be certain you're getting the best value. If you have waterproofing, crawl space, structural foundation, or plumbing needs, you know who to call. PermaSeal at 800-421-SEAL. That's 800-421-SEAL or permaseal.net.
Don't best for being better, PermaSeal.
Hi, it's Steve Cochran. Chances are you or somebody you know has sleep apnea. The people and families that deal with sleep apnea know all about the loud snoring and the daytime fatigue, the crankiness. But many don't know that people with sleep apnea also have higher rates of heart disease, stroke, motor vehicle accidents. It's a serious condition. Most people are given a CPAP machine to treat the sleep apnea. But if you've tried a CPAP mask and can't get restful sleep, don't worry. You are not alone, and there's a breakthrough therapy right now that's different. It's called Inspire. Inspire works inside your body. With your natural breathing process, Inspire, you see, is a small device implanted under the skin that delivers mild stimulation to keep your airway open while you sleep, and it is FDA approved. And there are doctors right here in Chicago trained to treat your sleep apnea with Inspire therapy. The freedom to sleep like everybody else is just a click away. Try it. Inspiresleep.com. That's where you learn more, review safety information, and find a doctor who can determine if Inspire is right for you. That's Inspiresleep.com.
When it comes to heart and vascular care, choosing the best just got easier. Mercy Hospital continues to be the front runner in the diagnosis and treatment of heart and vascular care for Chicagoans. Mercy expert physicians don't just focus on the heart. They assess the whole vascular system, offering higher quality and more comprehensive care for you and your family. Choose Mercy and care for your heart with one of our customized heart screenings. Discover more at mercy-chicago.org/heart.
Your money on WGN. The Dow Jones Industrial Average down 31 points today. The Nasdaq's up 19 and the S&P 500 down 1. WGN Sports. Blackhawks are in Minnesota tonight. The pregame at 6:30, face off at 7. You can hear it live here on 720 WGN and WGNradio.com. The Bulls are on the road. They're at Indiana. And in the NIT, it is a Final Four game tonight at Madison Square Garden. Valparaiso taking on BYU. Let's get a look at traffic. Here's Jill Egan.
Things are looking good both directions. On the Edens, the Kennedy, not too bad. 21 O'Hare to downtown, out to O'Hare, 18. On the Eisenhower, still a little slow on the inbound side from Mannheim to Harlem. 21 minutes, Wolf to downtown. Up on side looks great, though. The Stevenson, much better. Northbound I-55, still a little slow out of Will County around Route 53 after an earlier crash there, but things are starting to improve. From 355 all the way into Lakeshore Drive, it's 33 minutes. Tri-State Inn is 22. Dan Ryan from 95th into downtown, that's still 21 minutes with heavy traffic starting around 43rd. I-57 and the Bishop 4 both looking good. No big issues on any of our tollways. We do still have a Metra delay after earlier a vehicle stuck on the tracks on the Metra UP North line. Check MetraRail.com before you head out to that train line. This report is brought to you by Taco Bell. There's so much love out there for Taco Bell's Quesalupa with delicious melted pepper jack cheese baked right into the shell. It has everyone talking. Have you tried one yet? I'm Jill Egan, WGN Traffic Central.
The forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center. Sunny skies today, mild, a high of 55 degrees. Partly cloudy tonight, down to 42. Could be a shower or storm around tomorrow afternoon, but otherwise a high of 61. Right now at O'Hare, it's 47. Midway, 48. Mantino, 47. At the lakefront, 44 degrees. The winds are south at 8 miles an hour, and the barometer is steady. Next news comes your way at 11:30 or when news breaks and at WGNradio.com. I'm Steve Bertrand on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder at 720 WGN. And I got some news alerts that an Egypt airplane was hijacked and forced to land on Tuesday by a man wearing a suicide vest slash belt, but more developments have turned out to prove that false. Maybe it was indeed a suicide vest, but it wasn't packed with explosives. Live from London right now, ABC News correspondent Tom Rivers. Hi, Tom.
Hey, how you doing? Yeah, what a strange old trip it's been for the passengers on this thing. I tell you, they were anticipating a short little 30-minute hop domestic flight from Alexandria to Cairo, and instead of going south, they went north, and that meant things were happening. And initially, this is interesting, we're getting some kind of eyewitness stuff inside the plane. People were told to, you know, hand their passports over, and they knew something was up. They didn't know exactly what, but that was strange on a domestic flight. And they kept gaining altitude, and that meant, guess what, they're going somewhere else. Turns out they went to Larnaca, and as you say, this individual said he had an explosive vest on. Some footage has been released as well from Alexandria of him checking in to the airport, and yes, he was going through the correct screening procedures. So the pilot thought, well, better err on the side of caution and move the plane up to Cyprus, and eventually this man was negotiated down from the plane. Nobody got hurt, injured, or anything of that nature. But it was a scary time for a while, not knowing what to expect, what would be around the next corner.
You just said, Tom, the man was negotiated down. What was that negotiation like? What took place there?
They had at least two teams. We anticipate, we've been told that one is probably Egyptian, the other probably local, and just working on the guy, because the Cypriot Foreign Affairs Minister said the guy was unstable, okay? He had some issues, and of course he wanted to talk to his former wife, who happens to be a Cypriot. So he had some stuff going on there. He had a four-page letter as well that he wanted her to read. So early on, it looked
that's
like
that's a way to get someone's attention is, you know, hijack a plane and drop it off at where she lives.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. It's a dog day afternoon, isn't it?
Yeah.
Kind of hanging out. And yeah, you're absolutely right. So very strange story, but it turned out it was not terrorism related. But still, you don't know that early on in this story. And it is scary. And there are nationalities of a bunch of different countries on there, U.S., British, Dutch, French, you name it, fill in the blank. So this thing could have taken a nasty turn, but luckily everything is okay.
I've heard reports now that there were just cell phone cases put in that suicide vest, so there was no explosive stuff at all. And I've also seen alleged pictures of a selfie of he and the crew. Is there any confirmation to that being legit?
Yeah, I've seen those too. Now, I don't know if it was a selfie. I've seen an image, I guess it was shot by another passenger of this guy. So we see see his face and next to another individual in another picture as well. Don't know exactly what was going on there, but if in fact that is the guy, you see him clear as day on this flight.
Tom, I know that after the Brussels attacks, all airports were on high alert for a while. Was the airport there in Alexandria, has that been on high alert ever since Brussels, or did they let up on that a little bit?
No, I think it's probably been on alert shortly after the Russian airliner last year that was bombed. So, yes, they had to beef it up. If for no other reason, that's how Egypt gets a lot of their hard currency in. So if they can't have good security at airports, a lot of tour operators are not going to operate there, and they're going to be out of dollars, euros, and pounds very, very quickly.
So what happens to him now, Tom? Because no one was hurt. 81 people on board, including 15 crew members. What happens to him? No one was hurt, but he still diverted the plane.
Yeah, he kind of messed up people's lives at least for a day, and the story went around the world. I guess he gets sent back to Egypt, and investigators will give him a thorough going over there, find out exactly what the score is, and then certainly he'll be serving some time behind bars down there as well.
Tom, we appreciate the report. Thank you so much.
Take care.
All right, that's Tom Rivers, ABC News correspondent.
What was that?
The sign-off?
Take care.
That's what you do when you're in the international news business.
That was very Danny Bonaducci of him.
We got a Dog Day Afternoon reference. I loved it. I thought that was great.
There was something else at the very beginning, too.
I know. I don't know what it was. All right. So there you have it. Not a terrorist act, thankfully.
It was scary when the alert came over,
though,
because I'm thinking, God, what else? And then this terrible Easter party going on in Pakistan.
Yeah.
It is just a crazy world. You wake up every morning wondering what's next.
Yeah, I know. All right, a break, and then more show. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN. Weather in the first 5 minutes. Watch Chicago's first weather report at 10 p.m. with Tom Skilling. Take care! Weeknights on WGN TV News at 10. That was a strange way to sign off.
That was a little weird.
For Tom Rivers. I don't know what happened there, but all right. Yesterday, I had a notice on my Facebook page, which was a picture of your husband, Jim, his face taking up half the screen, and it said, "Wish this guy a happy birthday." And then I did not.
I didn't either.
I can't be told what to do by Facebook. What would that be? What would that say about me if Facebook just said, "And then rob a bank," and then I just went and robbed a bank because it said so on Facebook? But it was odd that a nice picture of your husband, certainly. But it easily took up a third of the screen, half of the screen. Wish this guy a happy birthday. Click here.
See, now, I don't know why it does that. I'm sure there were other people celebrating birthdays on your friend line.
I think your husband pays extra for that service. I bet he pays
not.
A couple
God,
of bucks
I hope he doesn't.
To have people reminded that it's his birthday like that.
You know, he's out of town. He went to L.A., and before he left, he took the boys to see Batman versus Superman. Have you seen it?
Mm-mm.
I heard you and Nick talking about it yesterday. Nick said, "Worst movie ever."
Right.
And then he said, "Take care."
No,
he didn't.
Out of character for him to do that.
Dean liked it, although he said it was the setup was particularly long.
Dean said something to the effect of, "If you can sit through the first 75 or 80 minutes, then you're fine." But that's a long time to wait for something to happen, isn't it?
Yeah, I didn't.
It's a long time.
They went without me because I guess I didn't show as much excitement. I would have gone, but they didn't think I wanted to go, so they just went.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because Dylan is 13 and he's totally into comics and he loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that the setup was necessary.
I can't comment because I haven't seen
right.
it. But if you look at any movie, that's what you're going to get is you'll get some setup and then the story takes place. But a lot of times, like right at the beginning, like in every James Bond movie, something, there's big action right out of the box immediately to get your attention, but they didn't go that route with Batman versus Superman. They decided not to.
Yeah, sometimes chronological orders might not be the best right. way to do it.
Right.
Like give a little oohs and ahs.
Right.
And then a backstory, although yeah. sometimes it gets confusing for people. But now Michael is 16 and he said it was okay.
Yeah.
And so last night I was listening with Jim Out of Town. I listened to two teenage boys fighting about comics.
Mm-hmm.
And Dylan was saying something about Green Lantern. And he goes, "Mop, Michael thinks Green Lantern is one guy." And I said, "He is." No.
Well, there's the Green Lantern Corps.
Well, that's what he explained to me.
Which is Green Lanterns from all over the universe.
That's what he said. He's like, right. you know, and here's my 13-year-old. He says to me, "It's like the man from an uncle is a position. It's not like a person."
Right.
I'm like, first of all, good how
reference.
Do you know the man from uncle? Second of all, I always thought the Green Lantern was like Iron Man. It was like one guy.
Yeah.
So they laughed at me. Well, Michael didn't know either.
You can't let that bother you.
It's a core. There's more than one Green Lantern?
Well, yeah. Every planet has their own Green Lantern. Everyone knows that. What school did you go to?
Obviously not Comic U. I went to FU.
Right. That's the better school of the two.
But I didn't know it was a position.
Oh, yeah. You got
How
to apply for it.
How long have you known this?
It.
I felt
Everyone
stupid.
Knows that.
Kevin, did
Everyone
you know
knows that?
That? The Green Lantern was not just one guy. Be honest. I know Bill's...
No, I didn't know that.
Oh, you guys.
See?
I didn't follow that comic storyline.
No.
Why don't they make an Archie movie?
And why are there so
Archie
many green...
Archie versus Reggie. That's what I'll go see.
Isn't Yeah, what's with the multiple green blank... heroes.
You got Green Arrow, you got Green Hornet, you got Green Lantern.
Are they related? Do they know each other?
Green Giant.
Green Giant is a superhero
Are
in
they
the
friends?
Vegetable world. Yeah, they get along. The Greens all get along.
They could be the Gangrene. Although that's already a thing, isn't it?
That would be a villain. Gangrene. Oh no, this is the work of Gangrene. Look at his skin has changed colors.
That's
Gangrene
not funny.
Gangrene is in town.
That's not funny.
What a formidable villain he would be. Well, I'm sorry that some of your family
stupid.
Enjoy it. No, I'm sure they were just trying to inform you, not make you feel bad. I'm positive.
Well, Michael didn't know either, and Dylan's, you know, trying for me to side with him, you
right.
know, like, can you believe Michael didn't know Green Lantern was one guy?
What a dope.
Yeah. Or he's not one guy. He's like the man from Uncle. It's a
That's a peculiar reference for him to pull out.
Is it How accurate, did... though? It's a
yeah.
position.
Yeah.
It's not a character or
right.
not a person. And I'm like, since when?
Well, because you know of Hal Jordan, who's the Earth's Green Lantern, but you don't know the other planet's Green Lanterns. But you're fine. You can get through life without knowing that.
How
you're
would
fine.
You know there's more than one Green Lantern?
It's the first thing they taught us in first grade, but maybe every school doesn't do that.
And
they said, here's something you'll need to know that it's so that your kids don't make fun of you at some point. Every planet in the universe has their own Green Lantern. And then we learned how to read,
oh,
write,
yeah,
and stuff.
I did know that.
Remember?
You did not.
No,
yeah,
now that
did.
He mentions that every planet has one. Okay, yeah.
Does every planet have their own Spider-Man?
Come on, Wendy. You're being silly now.
Please.
Well, does do
no.
they?
Oh,
God.
So there's
Come
only
on.
One Spider-Man.
Well, yeah.
Peter Parker.
That's it. Come on. Don't. That's now that part's embarrassing.
I don't know.
Come on.
You know, we celebrated Jim's birthday. This was a very fun night.
Would you have done it if Facebook didn't remind you to?
I did it before because he was leaving.
Oh, all right.
So
that's
it didn't
better.
Remind me.
That's better.
But did the Brazilian steakhouse Fogo de Chao?
Is that where you went?
Or Chaw, or I don't know how you say it.
De Chao.
Can I just tell you that nothing's better than a big meat party?
Unlimited meat. Fogo de Chao, come and get it. We got more.
It is unbelievable. And then the Rosemont Outlet Malls, after we had an early dinner.
Uh-huh.
And then,
what time?
4:30.
Oh, how old are you?
I know. And it was with the kids, too.
4:30 dinner.
It was 4:30 or 9:30. That place fills up so quickly.
Wow.
If you don't make reservations 1 year in advance, I should have had one of the Green Lanterns make it for me. So then after eating, you know, they have a fantastic salad bar, too. So it's not like they're not... giving you like a crappy salad bar because
right.
you're going to get great meat. It was really a wonderful experience.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we had some Brazilian cocktail, which was like rum and muddled limes. I don't know. It was very good.
Mm.
And then I said, hey, why don't we go walk off all this meat and go to the outlet malls? So believe it or not, it was like my birthday.
They took
because
you.
The boys went, Michael, Dylan, and Jim, and I went to the outlet malls, and we walked
Something's
around and
up.
Bought stuff.
Why are they being nice to you? They felt bad about the Green Lantern. Even though it hadn't happened yet, they knew that that was coming.
They were feeling meat leerious, probably. A little
right.
Meat sweats.
We had yeah. meat
hey,
sweats.
Hey, guys, can I just interrupt yes. you for a second? We're getting word of another celebrity death. It looks like Patty Duke has passed
away. Oh, no.
I knew you'd be really sad.
This is not good.
I know.
This is not good. She played Patty and Kathy on the Patty Duke show.
Yeah, her family just released a statement.
Oh,
so.
This is bad.
Sean Astin's mother.
Sean Astin's mom.
Wife of John Astin,
for
Gomez.
A while, yeah. Fiance to Desi Arnaz Jr. at
really?
One point, yeah. And Lucille Ball was not happy about that. Wow. Battled depression for years and years and years.
Well, she had a split personality because of that show.
Well, not because it was a coincidence, not because of the show, but.
Well, she played two yeah. twins.
I think she was also, now this is strange, I believe she was also the head of the Screen Actors Guild. Which means that two presidents of the Screen Actors Guild have died this week, Ken Howard and Patty Duke.
Melissa Gilbert better watch out. Because she was president, too.
Yes.
That's sad. How old was she? Do you have
that? It doesn't say, but as soon as I find out, I will let you know.
You know, it's weird, because most people will know her certainly from the Patty Duke show, but
right.
she played Helen Keller. She was great. And she played Annie Sullivan years and years later. She played both roles in that story.
So it looks like she was 69. She
oh,
was
is that
born
all?
1946. Yeah, I would thought she
that
was older.
That seems
than
to
that.
Be
she was older too.
The year everybody's dying.
Right around there.
Yeah, because Gary Shandling was 66.
I think Patty Duke may have been older than that.
No,
I'm not
yeah,
sure.
I think
saying,
so
I don't
too.
Believe Wikipedia. Let's
yeah,
look.
I'm not sure.
I don't trust Wikipedia.
I don't either.
And I'm telling you, it's the first thing that pops up, so that's your go-to source a lot of
right.
times.
Right.
But I don't trust it.
You know, we had Sean Astin on a year ago, and then I went and saw him. He was at a convention.
You stalked him.
I stalked him at a convention, and we talked about his mom's career for quite a while. And I pulled out some obscure things, like an episode of Night Gallery, a very strange episode of Night Gallery that she was on. And he said she was really proud of stuff like that, that episodic TV. She was really good in so many different things over the years. That's very sad news, Kim.
Yeah, and I'm seeing the same birthday everywhere, December 14th, 1946. Huh. So,
yeah, I think she's lying.
What does it list as her real name? Because I know it wasn't Patty Duke.
Anna Marie Patty Duke.
That's what it was?
Yeah, Anna Marie.
Because I think her book is called Call Me Anna or something like that. Isn't her biography? Her biography has her real name in
How
it.
How do we
so.
Know this?
How do you and I know this?
No, you're just like,
this?
Isn't her biography called?
I don't know.
No one but you. Call Me Anna. Is that it?
I think that's what it is.
Yeah, 87 that came out.
Yeah.
Did you read it? It was made into a TV movie in 1990.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Her
Who
second,
played her?
That I don't have. I will look, though.
Kevin Hart played her.
Yeah,
which
in the family
casting.
Statement, they say Anna Patty Duke Pierce.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's her real name.
Yeah.
Her second book, A Brilliant Madness, Living with Manic Depression Illness, was published in 1992.
Oh, she was like the first celebrity
to come
out
forward.
And say that she's been battling depression for years and years and years. It was such a Hollywood secret forever. She was the first one. All right, well, we'll talk more about her as the day goes on. Very, very sad news, as Kim reported. Patty Duke Astin, no longer with us. All right, a quick break.
It's not our fault.
It's
we
not.
Have not mentioned her.
I don't think so.
All right, good.
I don't think so. All right, news is next, and then more show, Bill and Wendy, WGN. Kim, thanks. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. We just got the sad news that Patty Duke Astin, fine actress and has been for many, many years, died earlier today, Kim. Is that what they were saying? Or did word just get out today that she had died?
Well, the family sent a statement. It looks like she kind of died in her sleep in the middle of the night.
She did.
Yeah.
Very, very sad.
But they're calling her, I know you're calling her Patty Duke Astin, because that John Astin was her first wife, but in the statement, everything, it says Pierce. So was she still married to Michael Pierce?
I think
now?
She was still married to Michael Pierce now. She was married to John Astin for a while and had her name changed to Patty Duke. It went from Patty Duke to Patty Duke Astin. I don't remember seeing her billed as Patty Duke Pierce anywhere. Maybe that was just personal.
Yeah, it must be, because that's what the family statement said, and, you know, everybody else is calling her Patty Duke.
I still remember, you know, the comedian Carol Leifer? Remember
yes.
Carol Leifer? Carol Leifer used to do a bit about that theme song. You know, they walk alike, they talk alike. admire Jonas Sokolak. I think that's how it went. I don't remember. But she said there was a line in there that always bothered her because it's something like one of them loves to rock and roll. A hot dog makes her lose control.
Yeah.
And she said, a hot dog makes her lose control? How popular was she in high school? Here's a hot dog. Let's see what can happen now.
Well, she was supposed to be kind of a goody-goody, so.
Yeah. And one of them, remember, one of them had a, like a slightly English accent.
Yes.
But not fully committed. It's
exactly.
Like, are you from England? Have you been to England? Why? It's just kind of an English accent, but not full.
Well, we were reading something off the air, and this we have talked to Sean Astin before you started talking, stalking him.
I did stalk him, and it's the weirdest thing. He was such a nice guy. We had him on the show, and he was great, and then I went and talked to him, and he was a really well-adjusted, very, very nice guy.
But it was interesting. I was reading you this off the air. He had four dads. He grew up, Sean Astin grew up as the child of two Hollywood stars, Oscar winner Patty Duke, and John Astin,
yeah.
Who was Gomez.
Yeah.
When he was 14, his mother told him that John Astin was not his biological father. Instead, she explained, he was born when she was 23 years old and single after she had a scandalous affair with Desi Arnaz Jr., who was only 17 at the time.
17. And
he
I know
was
his
a
mom.
Babe.
I guess.
He
yeah.
was so cute.
But I know his mom was not too pleased about that relationship.
Well, that's a big age difference.
Yeah.
Lucille Ball disapproved of the relationship.
That's what she did when she found out. And she dressed like a circus performer with a fake mustache to try to thwart their romance.
And no one recognized
her. Nobody knew it was her.
Not even her husband.
That Belgian gentleman doesn't think the two of you should be dating.
A stranger named Michael Tell came to sublet Patty Duke's apartment and offered to marry her as a way out of the scandal because she was pregnant.
Right.
And the marriage only lasted 13 days after Duke agreed and ended long before Sean was born. After his mother told Sean Astin, that Arnaz was his father, the two developed a relationship. But in his mid-20s, Sean said he met a relative of Michael Tell,
yeah.
who suggested that they were related. So Sean set out to find out his own truth about his biological father, hoping that genetic tests would prove it beyond a doubt.
Yeah.
The tests had a surprising outcome. They showed that Tell was Sean's father. And then Sean Astin says, Desi Arnaz Jr. loves me and I love him. We are so close. Science tells me that he's not my biological father. Science tells me that Mike Tell is.
Oh.
But Sean really considers John Astin to be his father since he was raised by the actor. But he has relationships with all of the people in question.
So explain this to me. At some point, Patty Duke takes her 13-year-old son and says, the man who you thought was your father, in brackets John Astin, is not your dad, but Desi Arnaz Jr. is your dad, but that's not true. What's in it for her to lie about that?
Well, he says, Sean says, I can call any of them on the phone anytime I want, John, Desi, Mike, or Papa Mike, he's referring to his stepfather, Mike Pierce, who married Duke in 1986, which Kim mentioned.
Papa Mike.
Yeah, he has four dads.
Does he own Subway restaurants?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like he should.
So Patty Duke prefers to believe that Arnaz is Sean's biological father in spite of the blood test, so mother and son had agreed to disagree.
It's just weird. You find out your dad's not your dad, and then you go to another guy and go, well, then you're my dad, and then you find out that guy's not your dad.
And then you go walk up to somebody and like pull on their nightgown or their robe and say, are you my dad?
Are you my dad? One of you must be my dad.
But I didn't. That's an interesting little story.
He called me when I was talking to him. He kept calling me dad.
He did not.
I'm like, Sean, I'm not your dad. But then I took him to the circus.
And
we played catch. Yeah, I bought him some circus peanuts. And we had a nice time. I get a card from him on Father's Day.
Now he has five dads.
Right.
Then one's almost his age.
That's right. That's what he said to me. You're only 8 years older than me. Are you sure you're my dad? And I go, yeah, I'm positive. I can tell.
I got busy.
I can tell I'm your dad.
1946 is right for her birthday, according to 815, who has texted us. She would have been 70
wow.
this year.
I don't know why. I assumed, because it's Hollywood, she was probably subtracting a year or two from her age.
I thought she was older. That just shows how she really achieved greatness at such a young age.
Well, that means when she did the Patty Duke show, she was 15? 14
yeah.
or 15.
That's right.
Wow. I would have demanded to get double the pay because she was playing twice as many characters as anyone else on the
show. That's why you're not in a sitcom or anything else.
Right.
They wanted two of you. But
and you know what's funny? If you go back and watch those now, like when you were a kid and you watched that, you accepted the fact that it was Patty and Kathy and they were cousins and they just looked a lot alike. That's crazy. But like when you watch it now, if you see any episodes now, it's so obvious that, I mean, of course, she can't be in the same shot twice. She's just one person. But like you bought into it when you were a kid. But now the angles are so bad. You just see the corner of her head, you know, as she's talking to the other character who's her.
Can I ask you a question? Since you're Mr. Cinematic.
What?
I agree with you because I bought that hook, line, and sinker when I watched the Patty Duke show.
Yeah.
But now when you watch Baskets with Zach Galifianakis, how can they have them in the same room?
It's the way they split screen. Well, yeah, they process. You know who started it, honestly, was Bewitched when it was Sam and her cousin.
Sabrina?
Sabrina, right? So whenever she was playing more than one character on the show, they developed this process by which, you know, you'd film the same scene and then splice it together a certain way. And they still use a version of that.
Because the Zach Galifianakis is
seamless.
I can't figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they're right there. I know that there's computer generation now. And I know there are graphics and Photoshop. But it's pretty amazing to me.
It's so convincing, even though you know it's the same guy playing two roles. But the Patty, go back and watch the Patty Duke show. Because even though when you're a kid, you go, wow, those guys really do look alike. You know, you knew it was the same actress, but when you see it now, it just doesn't, it's not as convincing.
I don't believe you. The mirror trick, the mirror when they were doing the, you know, they were looking in the mirror and they were mirroring each other.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Was that just really her reflection?
Yes. I'm not sure.
Because they had her mirroring.
Was that in one episode or every episode?
No, the beginning, the open.
Oh, during the during the theme song. Yeah, I'm not sure how they did that. Well, didn't she have different outfits on in that, or was she wearing the same outfit?
No, it was different outfits. So they had to, I guess, do trick photography.
Yeah, of course. She's a good actress, but she couldn't wear two different outfits.
I always got her confused too with Haley Mills because of
Parent Trap. Right.
Playing, you know, she played the same role too.
I never saw that.
Oh, Wendy. Oh, great. Gotta see Parent Trap.
That's a classic.
I'll do a double feature of that and Sound of Music and the Parent Trap.
Oh, I'll come over.
Could you just watch it and tell me about it?
I've watched them both a million times.
Christopher Plummer played all the kids in Sound of Music. He played all the roles.
Such a handsome man.
He's such a nice man. All right, a break and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN. All right, it's us. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Before we got the sad news that Patty Duke had died, I started to bring something up, and I just want to finish it really quickly. On Facebook yesterday is a giant picture of your husband Jimmy's face, and it says, it's this guy's birthday, want to wish him a happy birthday, and then there's a box that I could have clicked to wish him a happy birthday. But the point is this. There was a time where you really knew if people loved you or not, if they would call you or stop by the house and wish you a happy birthday. But now there's all sorts of apps and social media markers to remind you of that. And I think it waters it down. And now I don't know who really loves me and who doesn't.
Well, I didn't post anything on his page because I talked to him.
Once a week, right?
No, he was out of town.
Oh, all right.
So I talked to him. I sent him a video.
Did you send him a video? Yeah.
Yeah, I showed it to you.
Oh, that video. Yeah, that was nice.
Happy birthday, and I accidentally did a typo. I meant to say birthday, and he thought it was, I was a Star Wars, like, oh.
That's a Star Wars reference.
And I said, no, it's a typo, but I took credit for it. And he's like, this is the best birthday ever. But I talked to him, so I kind of felt guilty. I felt pressure.
You don't need to leave him a Facebook message. You're married to him.
That's what I thought, because I felt pressure to put it up there like everyone else would be looking to see what I put. Because it's really nice when people put, oh, my God, I married my best friend. The sleeping, the slumber party never has to end when you marry the right person.
Right.
I told him that on the phone.
Yeah, you don't need to put that on. You see him. You're married. You don't need to put that on Facebook. My wife's family does this thing where anytime it's anyone in the family's birthday, and it's a lot because there's six kids, so it's always somebody's birthday or the parents or grandparents or whatever. So they all call each other back and forth. Did you call him and wish him a happy birthday? Did you call her and wish him? And I always say to my wife, that cheapens it because then you think everybody in the family cares about you, and in reality, it's really just one or two people. I think it should be only the people
who... Yeah, but you're revealing the secret. You're pulling back the curtain right now. The people who are receiving the calls think that they're getting the calls because people reminded...
But they all know because they're all in on this calling network. I just... It waters it down. Then you can't tell who really does remember your birthday and who called to remind you to tell you, hey, call that guy, it's his birthday.
It's all about the present.
I guess
whoever
is.
Buys you the best present.
They don't even get each other. And, you know, at some point when you become an adult,
yeah, you stop.
The present buying stops. But I always say to her, I know everybody called you on your birthday, but I think only one or maybe two of them really remembered that it's your birthday. The rest of them were just reminded by somebody. That's not as good. Yeah. They should have to disclose that. They should go, look, I forgot it was your birthday, but I got calls from all of our brothers and sisters.
Who would say that besides you? Somebody, and you wouldn't even.
I wouldn't even. No. No. I would never do that.
We went shopping. I got him a pair of Star Wars Vans shoes that mm-hmm. say Star Wars, so you can't really tell unless you're right up on him. Mm-hmm. So only people who are close to him would know
I
it says Star Wars.
I hope that's a limited
Wars.
Amount of people.
Yes. I got him a pair of jeans, a shirt. Got myself a pair of Converse high tops that Kristen Decker has.
Yeah.
Because when I asked her, oh, where'd you get them? You said, are you really going to go out and buy them? I did.
And now you have the same outfit as her.
Well, that wasn't planned. We planned to wear the same shoes today, but it turns out we dressed alike. It's fun. Who cares? We're at work. The only person it bothered was you.
I just think it's weird. Like if I knew Kevin was going to wear a particular article of clothing, I then wouldn't wear that clothing so that you wouldn't go, oh, are you guys trying to be twins or something?
Okay, girls are different. I stole
How so?
Her look. Right. She had the shoes. I liked them. I wanted them. You questioned why I asked where she got them. Are you really going to go out and get them? What if you wear them the same day? So I texted her yesterday and said, let's drive Bill nuts and wear them on Tuesday.
It?
Yes.
And we said this before. It's the ultimate compliment to somebody.
Yeah.
Is it really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Somebody likes what you're wearing and you want to get it? Absolutely. It's the ultimate compliment.
If somebody said, I love that shirt, where'd you get it? I'd go, I would just make up a store. Danny's. I got it at Danny's. Go get it. They're a nickel each. 10 for a quarter.
Listen, I don't think you're setting any fashion trends. I have to be honest.
No, I know
you.
That.
I'm not either. That's why Kristen Decker is. And I said, where'd you get those? I want them. And
what if
Kim,
everybody
we planned
did that?
It out? Who
what if,
cares?
What if every woman here at WGN said, I like your shirt. And then tomorrow you came in and everyone was wearing that same shirt. That
we would chuckle, we'd take a picture, we'd put it on Facebook, and that would be it. Would
Steve,
that be the end of the world?
Steve agrees with me, right?
What?
There'd be no chuckling.
Well, it's funny, though, because Judy walked in today with gold pants on.
Little
and then
flares.
Jason just Yeah, and then Jason just walked into the newsroom.
Please don't say he had gold pants on.
He has
please.
Gold pants
oh,
on, exactly
no.
the same color as Judy.
Well,
and they didn't even write a memo.
Jason is modeling. He's going to be the new Oscar statue.
Did you just say if everyone shows up wearing the same shirt that the women would chuckle?
Because I don't believe that either.
Never.
Listen, I asked Kristen Decker if it was okay if I bought those shoes. I bought a different color. I said, wear them tomorrow because we'll drive Bill and now evidently Steve crazy and we'll take a picture. It just so happened we kind of were wearing the same thing and that wasn't planned. We had crop jeans on and a gray sweater hoodie.
No, I don't care. I'm just saying I think women, I mean... Don't you know?
That's created fights if somebody
right.
wears
the same dress.
But we don't
Wait,
hang out.
I can't wear this at this year's Christmas party because I wore it at the
that's
Christmas
different.
Party 3 years ago.
That's
right,
different.
And everyone
How's
remember.
That different?
Because
now, if somebody
that's a special
wears
occasion.
A dress, if you're like, say, at your son's wedding and somebody wears the same dress you do, then you're kind
of
horrified.
Yeah.
But
of
on
course.
A day-to-day basis, it's a compliment.
I wouldn't see it as that.
Boys are mean, Kim.
I would sue somebody.
Oh my goodness.
No one's trying to dress like either of you.
I know.
Maybe it's not mean girls.
It's
Maybe
better
it's
for
mean
society.
Boys.
Yes. That could be it.
Coming up on the business lunch.
Oh, wait. We have to take a break first. Then you can
and
tell
then we'll
us.
We'll find out. Stick around. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Kim, thank you so much. It's us. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder. It's part two of our show. We're thrilled that you're here. It should be a good one. In a little while, we're going to talk. Now, this is something... It's a word that I'm not familiar with, but I'll explain a little bit. Islamophobia. That's coming up at 1:35. And how would you characterize exactly what Islamophobia is?
People are prejudiced against Muslims
Muslim
and people
world.
From Islam because you know what? I don't understand it. So we're going to learn a little about it. You know, all terrorists, people think that, you know, oh, Muslim people, oh, they're terrorists. No, there are people, there are a lot of Muslim people who do not agree with what the heck is going on here.
Right, right.
So I think there's a lot of prejudice, a lot of bad feelings towards Muslims here in America. And we're going to talk to someone, Associate Chaplain Director of Interfaith Engagement at Northwestern University. There was a talk, there was a little presentation, Islamophobia, that happened, I think, last week.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something that's going on, because if you Google Islamophobia, a million sites come up.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people have it, and we're going to try and get to the bottom of this and find out what we need to know. I don't know anything. I don't know much about my own faith, which is Catholic.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I didn't realize that God died on Good Friday and rose again on Easter Sunday.
Jesus.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that the Jewish religion doesn't believe in Jesus or God.
Believes that he could have existed, but is not necessarily the Son of God.
Okay.
Right.
And see, that's what is confusing, because, you know what you learn in your family, and we're kind of, we're very ignorant to other religions.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to learn a little something today.
And my guess is this would be a hard time, just because of what's happened in the news, and because of the fear, the Islamophobia. I would imagine being of Muslim faith right now might not be the easiest thing in the world. There's some witch hunting going on, right?
Yes, and then again, I get 224, and I'll give him, I'm saying it's a him.
Mm-hmm.
Of course you don't understand, because you're a ditz.
Oh, all right. That's a text, right?
Yes.
Right.
I don't understand it because I don't experience it. And
yeah.
I think that's a lot of the problem, is we're fearful and we're ignorant.
Right.
Wouldn't you say that would be true on a lot of things?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
People are against gay marriage because they don't understand it. They're ignorant and they're afraid of it for some reason.
Yeah.
So I think you bring forth, you shed light on it, and then maybe we learn something and we're not so afraid of it.
Well, how about the people who years ago, and to this day it still goes on, your president there, your Barack Obama, that guy's a Muslim. You hear that every once in a while. And I never know what to make of that whenever people say that, There was a time when in the early 1960s, the idea of John F. Kennedy being the president hurt people because they went, well, you don't want that. That's a Catholic guy. That guy shouldn't be in the White House. So are we progressing much at all 50 years later? I don't know.
I don't know. Sometimes I feel like we're going backwards.
Yeah.
I do.
I know. I know. We are going backwards, or at least spinning our wheels, trying to go forward, but for some reason not being able to. We started out the show talking about, and we've talked about it before, the improbability of what's going on politically in the country, primarily with Donald Trump, not exclusively with Donald Trump, but primarily with Donald Trump. And I know people are very polarized on their feelings about him. But there's a story that I saw yesterday. You weren't here yesterday, and I saved this for you because I thought I want to run this past you. I don't know if you saw this. It was on Huffington Post. Listen to this. Tens of thousands of people have signed a petition calling for Quicken Loans Arena in Cleveland to allow guns at the Republican National Convention, all in the name of safety.
We had briefly discussed this because this came out last week, and you and I were talking about this off the air, and here's where I'm, again, ignorant and fearful.
Yeah.
Because my question is, all right, so if everybody's cocked, locked, and ready to rock with their guns.
Right.
Does that mean people will behave more? Because if they don't, then they know that someone's packing and they could take them down. So does it promote better behavior? I bring up the movie theater shooting that went on, and everyone said if we had the right to have a gun in the theater, he wouldn't have killed so many people. But don't people get killed in the crossfire? Again, ignorant and fearful. I'll admit it. Hands up.
It's so strange how this exact same argument will get you two completely different answers. And let's go with the movie theater example that you just threw out there. So a guy goes into the movie theater, into the Batman movie, and he starts shooting at people at random. So then if you're a gun advocate, you say, but if there's other people in the theater who have guns, they take that guy out. But if you're not so much a fan of the guns, you go, yeah, but as you just pointed out, there's going to be some crossfire and more than likely
more casualties.
Yeah, if everyone has a gun. if somebody's drowning, the best way to save that drowning person is not to necessarily throw more water on them. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So I, you know which side of the fence I stand on
this. We stand on the same side.
I don't know that more guns is the answer, but I've heard people, very, very credible people say, but think about it. If you have it in your mind to enter into a building, whether it's a movie theater or a school, or in this case, the Republican convention in Cleveland, and you have it in your head, I'm just going to go in there, I'm going to hide a gun, and then I'm just going to start shooting at people. If in your head you go, or maybe then the guy next to me also has a gun and he sees me pull up my gun and he shoots me, I understand that way of thought. I don't agree with it, but I could see where somebody in their head could make that point and go, yeah, if you don't know who else is armed, maybe that might hold you back. I don't agree with it, but I understand where people might go, that's the better option.
Okay, look at it this way. I have a 16-year-old who's kind of scared to drive, okay? Yeah. Because as I guess I put a little fear in him, because as I was driving and talking to him before he turned 16, I said, you kind of count on everybody else following the rules.
Right.
And if they don't, you have to react. So drive defensively. So, I mean, think about it. Everybody is in a car driving, and you expect everybody else to follow the rules, and typically they do, but there's going to be some rogue guy. There was some 20-year-old who had involuntary manslaughter or reckless homicide because he was drag racing in Aurora over the weekend.
There
are certain people who are going to break these rules, and then all hell breaks loose.
Right.
Other innocent people get hurt in the backwash.
You know how, if you're following what's going on in politics, and my guess is most people are at this point, if you're following it, you know that tensions keep growing and growing and growing. So what you're going to have here at the convention, and we've already seen this at various rallies where there's so many people who are so diametrically opposed on the issues, that we have seen some limited violence. We have seen people get beat up at these things. Now throw in this idea that everyone should be allowed to have a gun at this thing. I don't think that ends well.
Tempers and guns shouldn't be together. Like they always say, don't spank your child out of anger.
Right.
Spank your
him out of love.
Well, because you're trying to teach a lesson.
Right.
Well, don't teach me a lesson with your gun.
Right.
And then if I go there and I'm not packing, then I'm more scared.
That everyone else has a gun and you do not.
Chris, what do you think about this?
Well, I'm a gun rights guy in general, but I think this particular petition was actually submitted not by gun rights people, but by anti-gun people to call the Republicans out for being essentially hypocrites, where they say in these other contexts that people should be allowed to carry, and then here they have a convention and they have all these gun rights supporters. Why aren't they allowed to carry under those facts? So I think that's the real motivation of the petition. But the distinction that I make between situations where people should be allowed to carry versus not carry is whether there's sufficient security in place. Like we saw at the Capitol yesterday, they have metal detectors and armed police officers there to protect the unarmed people and to screen the people, you know, the crazy people coming through, so you don't need your own individual carrying capacity in those situations, as opposed to a shopping mall that's open or a movie theater that's open where there really isn't any screening or any security. So,
but Chris, could you possibly have enough security at a convention where there's tens of thousands of people in the same venue? Yeah, some of them of different mindsets. You couldn't have enough security, could you?
Well, I'm guessing that since there's going to be the future Republican presidential nominee at the convention, that they have the ability to screen everyone who comes in for weapons. So I think they're going to have police officers and Secret Service personnel and security at each of the entrances, so that anyone who's not supposed to be armed wouldn't be armed and then be allowed to pass that checkpoint. So I think in those situations, like at an airport or at a courthouse or something where you have security in place, then you don't need individuals to carry. But in other situations where you have essentially nothing, you know, no security in place, and you just have to wait for police officers to respond, and it could take, you know, 5 minutes for them to get there, and essentially whatever horrendous thing has happened is already long since over by the time they arrive. Those are situations where concealed carry is warranted.
Yeah. All right. All right. Thank you, Chris.
My pleasure.
We
thanks
appreciate
so much.
It.
Appreciate it. Appreciate your show.
Oh, you're very kind.
Thank you.
Would you feel comfortable if you were any of the candidates knowing, or let's say it's the Republican convention or the Democratic convention, you pick, and you know everybody in that room could potentially be having a gun, a loaded gun on them, would you feel confident going up on the stage and making a speech of any kind?
I mean, look at the Trump supporters that were gathering for his rally at UIC. People who weren't Trump supporters got in to the rally.
Right.
And that I'm scared for Trump's life sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, look, you have to go through a metal detector to go to a Cubs game now.
Yep.
You will.
So, or a Blackhawks game.
Right. So that certainly will be the case at the Republican convention. So
can a
they
petition
secure
like
it?
This,
absolutely, they can secure it.
But a petition like this doesn't stand any kind of a chance, right?
I wouldn't think so.
They wouldn't let everybody have a gun at a convention like this.
Except, you know, things are so wacky right now that
anything can happen.
I mean, there could be some political firestorm that would require it, but I can't imagine it, no. I don't think the Secret Service, you know.
Oh, it would be the biggest headache in the world for them.
You know, this comes back to when you're a parent, you try to make your kids do good things because you're embarrassed what the neighbors might think. I'm embarrassed of what other countries think
of
us right now.
Yeah.
It's just really crazy. We have to take a quick break. We have more calls. 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy, 720 WGN.
All right. If you're just joining us, here's what's going on in a nutshell. The people over at change.org have put out this petition. 26,000 people have signed it so far. It says, essentially, Cleveland, Ohio is constantly ranked as one of the top 10 most dangerous cities in America by forcing attendees to the Republican National Convention to leave their firearms at home. The RNC and the Quicken Loans Arena are putting tens of thousands of people at risk, both inside and outside the convention site. They are urging you to sign this petition saying it'd be okay to allow guns in the Republican National Convention, all in the name of safety. Maybe not the best idea in the world, but like I said, over 26,000 people have signed the petition so far.
And we don't think it's going to come to fruition.
I can't imagine it, no.
I have something to bring up. 815 has texted us, Bill, 312-981-7200. If you carry a weapon and you're at the convention and something breaks out and you try to shoot the shooter, the police could make a mistake and think you're a shooter. So in essence, carrying a concealed weapon and pulling it out to defend others puts you at high risk for getting shot by responding security and police.
Right, right. Well, the versions of that argument keep being made over and over again, sometimes to deaf ears. Remember, who was it a year ago who said there was an incident at a school and they said, that's why teachers need to be armed. You got to give teachers
who
guns.
Who did say that?
And that's not a good idea either. It just isn't.
No, because you know what? You're going to have a teacher who has a bad day or has a breakdown.
Someone could get at it. Some kid could figure out a way to get in the drawer and get the gun.
Yeah, I just don't understand it. I am really afraid to be an American.
I think about the teachers I had in grade school. I don't think Sister Marion should have had a gun. None with a gun. Is that a good idea?
She could have hid it under her habit.
Maybe.
That is a great hiding. Who's going to think a nun's going to have a gun?
There.
All right, Bill. Listener Bill, what's going on?
I was thinking, isn't this an opportunity for the Republican Party to stand by and prove to America that we can live at this convention with everybody packing a gun? I mean, they support carrying guns. Here's the opportunity to do so. Just like I don't understand why, you know, I saw yesterday in the news, you're not allowed to pack a gun to go into the Capitol area. Well, why? Why? They're the people supporting you, so why would they be concerned about it? So let's take the convention as an opportunity to prove a point.
Are you a gun owner, Bill? Bill, are you a gun owner?
No.
So what you're saying is if you believe that in our society it's fine to just walk around and have a concealed weapon, prove your point, do this at the convention.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Go ahead and do it.
Yep.
All right. Well, thanks for your
opinion.
Thanks,
Bill. I get it.
I like to think that, you know, if everyone had guns, people wouldn't, like, pull out a gun and shoot someone because they realize if they do, they're going to be arrested and go to jail. So that would hopefully prevent them from using it. However, if you come across someone hurting someone and you say, hey, stop that.
Right. It hasn't seemed to have fazed people, though, the people who have it in their mindset. I was telling you, every time I go into a building and that decal is in the window that shows a gun with a Ghostbusters line through it, no guns allowed in this building, it makes me laugh because I say, if a guy's got it in his head, he's going to walk through this building and do something terrible with a gun. That decal is not going to prevent him from doing it.
He's
not going to look at it and go, wow, I really didn't think about it, but this building is against this sort of behavior. Maybe I'll go elsewhere. It doesn't work.
All right. And if you do have conceal and carry and you have a gun on your person and you see that sticker, but you want to go in and get a, you know, some gummy bears.
Yeah.
Do you go back to your car and put the gun in there, or do you just go in there with your gun on your person anyway?
Right.
I don't know. I really don't know what's going on. Please, I'm going to wake up someday. This is all just a crazy dream, isn't it? I know I keep saying that, but that's what I really believe this is.
Gummy bears, by the way, the official snack food of the NRA. For people who are wondering what their official snack food is.
I think they're gunny bears.
Gunny bears.
Oh, very good.
Gunny bears. All right. A break. A lot more show. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Bill, it's time for us to learn something today.
I'm ready.
On the Bill and Wendy Show. All right, where do we begin? Muslims and those perceived to be Muslims get abuse. They get harassed, and I don't think we understand. So we're going to find out about Islamophobia right now. And Tahira Ahmad is with us. Hi, Tahira.
Hi, thank you so much for having me today.
Sure.
Absolutely. Now, you spoke at Northwestern University, which unfortunately has already happened. We got wind of this after the fact. That was last week?
Yeah, we actually had a rally in which many different groups from the community right out here in the north side in the Evanston, Skokie, Morton Grove, Wilmette, all of those communities got together and rallied within Evanston at, Fountain Square. And we basically gathered together to stand, against hate and violence throughout the country and the abuse and the physical assaults that are ongoing.
I have one of my son's friends is Muslim, and if, he's walking around and he hears somebody say something about Muslim people, he's like, my friend is Muslim. And these people go, oh, and they don't understand that there could be good Muslims.
So, I think you're right, Wendy. I think post 9/11, there has been an increase, as we know from both Gallup and Pew Research, that the anti-Islamic rhetoric has actually increased nearly 47% of Americans in a Gallup poll said that they are uncomfortable with their Muslim neighbors or that they would not feel comfortable with a Muslim neighbor, which, of course, is kind of startling as, 1 in 10 doctors in this country are actually Muslim. So you're more likely to be healed by a Muslim in this country than be killed by a Muslim.
By far, it's not even close.
So those are just the facts. But I think you're right that, when many people, I think, are when they look at nearly 22% of our news media coverage is about the Middle East, global politics and radical Islam. So, of course, some people may be relating that to the average Muslim that lives in this country. And so some of that fear, of course, is understandable, but not excusable. And so I think what we're trying to do in the larger communities is to build a sense of competency, community, and collaboration. And that's the kind of effort that I think we need help with, and just getting folks to know each other. Like your son knows someone, and he's able to say, hey, guess what? I know this guy. He's my friend. He's a Muslim. He's great. And I think many Americans know. They're just not sure how to have that conversation.
Would you go so far as to say it's almost like a witch hunt as people are trying to determine who could and who could not be a Muslim? It's almost reached that kind of a proportion, hasn't it?
Well, what's interesting is that a lot of the hate crimes that we're looking at now that are being reported actually are, folks that look outwardly as Muslim. So women who wear hijab, for example, the head veil, they have experienced a lot of hate. I myself, a couple of months ago, I'm sure you heard of the incident on United Airlines with the Diet Coke can, which, of course, United Airlines eventually apologized for.
Could you back up?
Yeah,
tell people who don't know what that is. What happened there exactly?
So, I travel quite often, and I was on a flight to go speak at a conference for Kids for Peace, which raises you know, peaceful dialogue between Israeli and Palestinian youth. I asked for a can of diet soda like I always do, and I asked for it to be a closed beverage can. The flight attendant refused to give me one, but then she proceeded to give the gentleman sitting next to me a closed beverage can. And then when I asked her why I'm being refused a closed beverage can, she said, "We are unauthorized to give passengers unopened beverage cans because they may use it as a weapon on the plane."
But why wouldn't the guy who got the Coke can that wasn't open use it as a weapon? I mean,
well, so that's when I, well, you're clearly discriminating because you gave the gentleman sitting next to me an unopened beverage can. She realized that. She picked it up, opened it for him, and as she was putting it back down, she said, "It's because you would use it as a weapon."
Oh,
and at
my
that
God.
Point, of course, you know, she, you know, crossed the line, and I was a little bit flabbergasted. I looked around. I asked folks, "Did anyone witness what she just said to me?" And I said, "How dare you say that I would use it as a weapon?" And a man sitting two seats across from me said, "You Muslims, shut the F up." I, of course, couldn't believe that, so I leaned over, and he said, "You know you would use it as a weapon, so shut the F up." And I actually posted about, you know, I had Wi-Fi in the plane. I put it on my social media page. It became a viral story. You know, it was all over. Almost every news media network had covered it, including WGN News Network. And, you know, United Airlines did officially apologize. They, you know, they said that the flight attendant will no longer serve on their flights, that they do not stand by discriminatory behavior. But this kind of just gives you an very small example of the amount of hate that's out there. And unfortunately, you know, folks that are well trained in diversity training or even feeling like they have the license to just say whatever they want. And I think that's the problem, is that we are at a point right now in this country where, you know, I don't want to mention certain political, you know, parties, but I think certain people have given folks the license to hate others in the rhetoric of their speeches, and it's becoming more and more prevalent. You know, 2 weeks ago, Northwestern's Alice Millar Chapel was vandalized with anti-Semitic, you know, anti-Islamic and homophobic, I mean, what have you. I mean, it was racial slurs against almost everyone. And then, of course, there was a Trump sign put up as well. So there's, I think what I'm trying to say is that this hate and this negativity is really going to destroy, you know, several communities, not just one community. So this is not just about Islamophobia. This is about, you know, respecting everyone. You know, the putting up anti-Semitic, images is not okay. And I think as a community, we have to come together and stand against this kind of hate and bigotry.
We have Tahara Ahmad on the line with us, Associate Chaplain, Director of Interfaith Engagement at Northwestern University. Tahara, I want to ask you about something. Obviously, this hate comes from fear, and you have to understand that as well. Not all Muslims are terrorists, but you mentioned 9/11. All the 9/11 terrorists were Muslim. So it's ignorance and it's fear. What do you do to try and show people that you guys don't approve with what ISIS is doing? Despite maybe having the same faith, you're not behind what they're doing. How do you explain this to people, and how do you make that fear and hatred go away?
Right. I think that's a very legitimate concern. I agree with you that Muslims, whenever, you know, these kinds of attacks happen, in fact, many Muslims feel like they have to apologize on behalf of the 1.6 billion Muslims around the world. When, you know, it's unfortunate that if someone who is of the Christian faith, which, as we know in this country, particularly majority of the violence and hate crimes actually have been, you know, committed by white men who have guns and have actually caused a lot of damage in communities. But we don't hold them accountable based on their faith. We say, oh, this person had a mental health condition. Or even in the cases where they have used scripture to commit some of these acts of crime, we, you know, recognize that not all Christians are, you know, out to kill people and violent. In fact, Christianity's roots are based in the concept of love, and that Jesus, you know, Christ taught love. So we understand that, I think. And so within what...
Wait, and I have to tell you, whenever someone has been committed a crime, you never hear a Christian. You never hear that. I never realized that till you just mentioned that.
Right. And so I think that double standard is, you know, obviously unfair. But I do think I do agree with you that Muslims have to stand up against any acts of violence that has been perpetrated under the name of Islam. And I, you know, I guarantee you that there have been many, you know, for example, right after 9/11, there was a million Muslim march in Washington, D.C. No one really talks about it. No one even knew that that had happened. And some of that has to just do with how the media covers some of these stories. But there have been multiple and, you know, countless efforts on behalf of the larger Muslim community to say, we do not stand by this. This is not what our faith teaches us. You know, in many ways, these people have hijacked our faith. And that we that it is not representative of our beliefs. Like, we are here in this country. Many of us are born and raised here. You know, we serve in the military. There were people, there were actually Muslims who died in the 9/11 attacks. There were firefighters who, you know, risked their lives who were Muslim in the 9/11 attacks. So I think folks don't know that. So knowing our stories, knowing the depth of the kind of sacrifices that have also been made by Muslims, I think is, you know, something that we need to talk about.
We have to take a break here. Tahara Ahmad, we have people who have questions and comments for you, Tahara, so we will continue. 312-981-7200. Islamophobia, it's a real thing. It's out there, and we're trying to learn about it right now. It's Bill Left, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. We are learning about Islamophobia. There was a discussion that happened at Northwestern last week, and on the line with us right now is Tahara Ahmad, Associate Chaplain, Director of Interfaith Engagement at Northwestern. And Tahara, we have people that have comments and questions, and is that what we're trying to do? We're trying to have a discussion here?
Sure, absolutely. I'm open to having a conversation with folks. I think that's really important.
It is important. And I mean, are you cool with people asking you questions instead of looking at you in a bad light or saying something terrible to you? Wouldn't it be better if they came up and said, listen, I got a question for you. I don't understand how this works. Would that be better?
Yeah, I think we need to be able to understand each other. But, you know, I think the main thing is respect and empathy. And if that is, you know, somewhere, a place that we could start, then that's wonderful. Because certainly, you know, anyone who is having a conversation, I think it's important to have that sense of respect for the other and the other perspective, as well as understanding that, you know, coming from a place of empathy and learning about the other, I think, is what would be best in moving forward.
I don't think anybody's nice to anybody anymore.
Right, those days are over. Yeah, those are over. When let's say Donald Trump says we got to restrict Muslims from coming into the United States, what does that do to you when you hear stuff like that?
Oh, a couple of things. You want to unpack that a little bit. Well, first of all, I'm kind of curious which kind of Muslim Donald Trump is, you know, because he seems to have no problems with the rich Muslims that he has lots of, you know, interesting investments and deals with in the Middle East, which I find kind of interesting, to say the least. You know, when you hear things like that, it reminds me of the kind of, you know, the waves of hate and hateful rhetoric that our country has gone through. There was a time in this country that there was hate, you know, perpetrated against Catholics, and then, you know, against the Jewish community, against, you know, the Southeast Asian community. So it's just a reminder that, you know, every few years there's a group that's targeted, they become the black sheep of society, and, you know, it seems that, you know, folks like Donald Trump can say something, you know, they're supposed to be leading a nation, but they're not able to acknowledge that all men are created equal and all men and women are created equal and that everyone respects dignity. But when he's saying things like that, of course, even if he says, well, only for, you know, a temporary amount of time, it sends a message that, guess what? The people that are even currently living, like, you can doubt them. You can doubt them, and you can, you know, with all of the rhetoric that's been going on, saying things like you could use, you know, bullets with pig's blood against Muslims, that, again, is just hate.
Yeah.
It's promoting hate.
Yep.
All right, Tahira Ahmad on the line with us. We're talking about Islamophobia, and Jeff has a question for you. I'm Catholic. I follow the Bible, not as well as I should probably. But, Jeff, you had a question about the Quran?
No, I didn't. I had two questions. Well, actually, one was a statement. One, I think that she should get her statistics correct when she quoted incorrectly before the break that the majority of crimes are committed by white men that are Christian. That is totally untrue. It is by African Americans and people of color. The majority of the crimes are committed. That's item one. So when I hear someone with those credentials that she has, and they are very credible, to make such statements, I begin to question the rest of the message. How accurate is the rest of the message? How sincere is it? Secondly, and final statement, is that I agree there is no room for that kind of behavior in this world against anyone. Couldn't agree with you more. But I would have to say to you this. Where are your leaders? Why are they not coming out more openly in public, in mass, to help the American people understand who they are, what they represent, and what they're against? This silence seems to be underlying, and it only adds to the problem that I see that the American people have with the kinds of experience that you just had on the airplane. And that's my statement.
All right, Tahira, what do you have to say about that?
Thank you for that, Jeff. Well, there are, as you know, 784 active hate groups in the United States. Hello?
Wait, Jeff.
What do you have to say?
All right, Jeff is just, he's listening. He turned his radio up. We were getting a little feedback there. Go ahead, Tahira.
Oh, okay. No, so I think you were thinking that I was referring to all of the crimes in the United States. I was specifically referring to hate groups. As you know, there are 784 active hate groups in the United States, and the FBI is charged under the Hate Crime Statistics Act in compiling all of those hate crimes, and so majority of those have been committed by white men, and that's what I was referring to. Secondly, I agree with you, Jeff, that whenever there is a community that is being, you know, attacked because, you know, people from within that tradition or who claim to be from that tradition are misusing and misinterpreting and causing harm to others, that those people must rise up. I agree with you. And you know what? There have been many Muslims who have. Unfortunately, we need more media coverage when that happens. So, for example, this rally that happened in which, you know, I stood up personally as one of the leaders in the Muslim community and many others from the Muslim community stood up to say, we do not stand by the acts of ISIS. We do not stand, you know, for, you know, the terrorism that has occurred. The Grand Mufti of Egypt, right after 9/11, who holds, you know, one of the basically kind of the authority within the Middle East, along with several other muftis. Muftis are kind of like, you know, the highest ranking officials of the Muslim world. They all put out statements. And unfortunately, you know, that needs to be publicized more. Just because it's not being publicized doesn't mean that it's not happening. You have individuals all across, you know, if you just go online, even social media has been a very incredible place where a lot of this activism is happening. And a lot of young people, whether it's through their tweets or through hashtag activism, they are speaking out against, you know, the kind of violence and hate that's being perpetrated under the name of Islam.
This is not fair because we are running out of time here, but a lot of people have texted in. Muslims have declared a holy war against the infidels. Some people have said there are things in the Quran to take care of non-Muslim people. Is that true? Does ISIS, for instance, follow Muslim to the Muslim faith to a degree and then kind of branch out on their own? Could you touch on that a little bit?
Well, all, you know, if you look at Judeo-Christian scripture, you're going to see verses in there that are far more critical of anyone who's considered the other, right? If you look
yes.
at some of these the scriptures, it's how you interpret scripture and it's how you exercise what you understand of scripture. And unfortunately, when you have folks like ISIS who have geopolitical concerns and they manipulate their concerns, and actually, I want to definitely mention this, folks who are worried that, you know, these people are against infidels, actually, more Muslims, statistically, more Muslims have died at the hands of ISIS than non-Muslims have. So if anything, these people are actually hurting Islam and Muslims more than any non-Muslim. And that's a stat that, you know, anyone who can, who has, you know, the ability to go check that and fact check that can do that right now. So that's something I want to clarify, is that these people are not against, you know, declaring holy war just against, you know, non-Muslims. They are actually killing more Muslims than non-Muslims. And unfortunately, Muslims are actually the first victims of the kind of terrorism that's happening all over the world. And of course, we face the backlash of it right here in this country.
Well, I don't know if it's going to get easier, but we are here to help spread your message. And please keep in touch with us if people want to follow you, Tahara Ahmed. How do they follow you, Tahara?
I have a social media page on Facebook, on Twitter. They can follow my Twitter handle, which is Tahara Ahmed 123, or they can, you know, add me on Facebook. And I'm more than willing to have conversations. Anyone who is, you know, willing to learn more, and I am willing to learn as well. You know, I thank someone like Jeff who called in. I think it's important for us to be in conversation, and critical conversation, but be in conversation with each other.
Tahara, thanks. We appreciate it. Best of luck.
Thank you
so much.
Good luck to you.
Tahara Ahmed, helping clear up exactly what Islamophobia is and what we need to do to fix it. We'll take a quick break. We've got news coming up next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
A long time ago when the earth was green, and there was more kinds of animals than you've ever seen.
Animals.
They'd run around free when the earth was being born. But the loveliest of them all was the unicorn.
Listen to this.
There was green alligators and long-necked geese. Some humpty bacchamas and some chimpanzees.
This makes me want to see Ark in the Park with Dr. Lester Fisher.
My mind is being blown right now.
You've never heard this, Kevin?
My mom used to always sing this.
Did she sing
And this? I had never known what it was from, and now I know.
You thought she wrote it?
Well, no, but I don't
Did
know.
Did your mom
I
tell
like,
you she wrote this song?
Yeah.
Did your mom have a thing for Lester Fisher?
I don't know who that is.
What woman didn't, Steve?
Right.
He was on, what was it, Garfield Goose?
No, Ray Rayner.
Oh, yeah.
He'd be on Ray Rayner. He'd come by. Well, hi, Ray, and how are you today? And then he would bring out animals, and Ray would learn about the animals with Dr. Lester Fisher. It was great.
It was pretty great. That there became my love of the animal kingdom.
Sure.
But it's funny because there's a new fossil that was found. And it has proved something that none of us believed.
Which is what?
Unicorns were real.
Nah, that's not true.
They found a unicorn skull, Bill. Dreams do come true, sort of. This is usnews.com. Is this one of those fake websites? Have I been bamboozled?
I think you have been, because there's no unicorn.
Let's see, you're reading a story about a unicorn skull. I don't think you've been bamboozled at all. No.
According to a study published in the American Journal of Applied Sciences, the Siberian unicorn, its genus and...
What's its genus?
Phylum name. I don't
What's
even know
its
what
genus
the,
and
I
its
can't pronounce
phylum
it.
And its class.
Elasmotherium cibricum.
Yeah, well, those exist, but they don't have
last
unicorns.
Last walked the earth.
That's stupid. There's no unicorn.
They walked the earth for the last time 29,000 years ago. Scientists previously thought the creature with the partially mythical name died out about 350,000 years ago, but a newly discovered fossilized skull, you guys, reveals it lived here much more recently.
How many, like 26,000, do you say?
29,000.
29,000?
The skull was found in the Pavlodar region of Kazakhstan.
That's where Borat lives.
I know, there's something to do with Borat. Scientists hope it will help shed light on how some members of the species apparently were able to survive as long as they did.
So
a real thing.
Science admits that unicorns at one point were a thing for real, not just 29,000 years ago.
Are you looking
before
at the picture?
Before you get too excited.
Yeah, if there's pictures, Steve, it must be real.
No, there's a drawing. It's not the unicorn that you think.
Before you get too excited, here, there's a bit of a catch. The Siberian unicorn really looked like more of a rhinoceros than a horse.
Oh.
It reportedly stood about 6'6" tall, measured around 15 feet long, and weighed about 8,000 pounds. That is a behemoth.
That's a big unicorn.
Yeah, 6'6", that's tall.
Yep.
How tall are you?
6'5" or so.
You could ride it around the studio, Steve. Do you think Judy Pilak would get mad if you had one in the newsroom?
If she would, I will.
Violetta could have the little fish. Why can't Steve have a uniform rhinoceros? A uniform.
Everyone's entitled to an animal, mythical or not.
As Science Alert explains, that's closer to woolly mammoth size than horse size, but it still had a horn. And that's where the rhino came from, or the rhino turned into the unicorn. You have to believe the truth is out there, Mulder.
Wait, so did a unicorn, if a unicorn existed, and I'm still kind of sketchy
on that.
I love
this joke.
They evolved into rhinoceros?
No.
It didn't? Right.
No, but this is the Siberian unicorn is what it was called, and it looked more like a rhinoceros, so it was bigger.
I'm skeptical.
But that's where the unicorns came from.
Well, I know they're showing pictures, but that's just, I don't know. That's a big honking horn, by the way. Like in my head,
horn?
Big honking horn. When I think of a unicorn, they've got like a dainty horn in the middle of their forehead. But that would kill you in a minute. You're done if that thing gores you.
That's what it's supposed to be there for.
Yeah, but like the ones you see in kids' movies, like if you know you're a little girl and you dream about a unicorn, they've got just a small little spike horn. They don't have what you're showing me.
They got ribbons on them.
Ribbons.
It's more whimsical,
and
yes.
And you could ride them to the edge of the rainbow.
You don't have to be a girl to dream of unicorns.
No, I didn't mean that.
It's what you said.
I was implying.
Well, the unicorn did exist. It's not a myth, but it didn't look like the pretty frilly little spiral-shaped horn on its head.
Wouldn't that throw you if you were somewhere and one of those showed up? That's just
the
weirdest
thing. The rhinoceros-looking one?
Either one. You know, I've never seen a buffalo, and I know they exist. I'm not questioning the existence of a buffalo. I've never seen one.
Well, buffalo or a bison?
I've never seen either.
Because the humpback one, that's a bison. Because I remember this from my Brookfield Zoo speech, because you used to ride on the railroad train, and you would go into the bison yard, and
in
they
the
were,
U.S., we only have bison. We do not have buffalo, despite...
Buffalo come from Africa.
Right.
And they have more... They have a flat back.
Right.
And their horns point backwards. A bison... You know, honestly, Buffalo Bill saw a bison, and he should have been known as Bison Bill.
I call him Bison Bill.
And this is going back 30-some years when I did the script on the railroad train, but they are native to North America, the bison.
So what
How
happened?
How can you have never seen?
I've never seen a bison or buffalo because we don't have them, but I've never seen one. No matter where I've been, even places that say, yeah, we've got them roaming free. I don't know.
On I-55 South going to ISU, there was a little farm of bison.
Was
Buffalo
there?
Grove? You've never been to Buffalo Grove?
Bison there's
Grove.
The jokes. Opening up for Carrot Top, are
I
you?
I have been to Buffalo Grove, but I've never seen...
There just is a new herd coming into the area somewhere. Was it in the southwest suburbs, maybe?
I'd love to see one.
Have you ever had a bison burger?
I have information on this because I used to work where they're going to be.
What is your information, Kevin?
Medewin National Tallgrass Prairie in Wilmington, Illinois is going to have buffalo.
They will?
Yep.
Not far from my White Trash Beach Club.
That's right.
I can bring you.
You used to work in Wilmington?
I used to live in Shanahan.
Wow.
Name dropper. So they're bringing them in from...
We have the Shanahan and Mantino gang members here.
I know.
Well, Bill, they used to be native to Illinois.
They were bison.
Yes.
Does everybody have a canned buffalo speech?
Yes.
I've been waiting for this moment for years.
I'm the only person that doesn't have one at ready. If I'm ever asked about bison, I'll just say this, and then I pull out a speech.
Welcome to the undersea world of the American bison.
I hope to see one someday. I don't know how I've lived on the planet for a long time. I've never seen one.
Do you know the bison's thick fur offers great protection against the harsh elements of the American plains?
Yes.
Their winter coat is so thick and well-insulated that snow can cover their backs without melting.
I know.
That was in the script, too.
I know a lot about them. I just can't find one.
Well, we'll get you one.
I'd like
we'll
to see one.
We'll bring one in. We'll put it in the newsroom.
All right.
Do you know what they eat?
Yams.
Midday hosts.
Without even blinking.
They're vegetarians. They mainly
Are they?
Eat
That's
grasses.
That's what I'm saying.
Why vegetarians? Doctor's orders?
Their cholesterol is up there a little bit.
That makes sense.
All right. Well, we'll talk more about bisons.
Yes.
Coming up.
Bison Tuesday. All right. Stick around.
Bicentennial.
It's Bill and Wendy WGS.
Buffalo Gals. Why don't you come out tonight?
Yeah, I've never seen one. I know they exist. Buffaloes I've never seen. Bison I've never seen. Here in the United States, as we've just learned, even though they're referred to as buffaloes, they're not.
Nope, they're bison.
They're bison.
Buffalo Bill should have been called Bison Bill, right, Tina?
Yes. Oh, I'm so happy to be talking to you guys.
Thank you, Tina.
It's been a while since I've been there, but Fermi Lab has a herd of bison that I would take my grandson to see.
Would you take Bill to see him?
I would like to go see one with you, Tina.
Sure.
All right.
You can put him in a stroller.
Yep, I'm fine. Give me a juice box. I'm yours for the day.
And that's pretty close for you to go visit. It's not that far away from Chicago.
I've been to Fermilab. How did I not see bison roaming around? It's a whole family of them roaming around?
They're fenced in.
Yeah, the Johnsons.
And you have to ask the guard where the herd is.
Mm-hmm.
And they will direct you. And it's just wonderful to watch the kids.
I bet.
They're pretty cool.
I'll go see them with you.
Well, Tina, thank you for the info, and thank you for listening.
Great. You're making my cleaning go quicker.
Oh, that's why we come in every day. We want your cleaning to go fast.
Tina, you missed the spot right there
in the corner.
You see it?
Right. You can come over and help me.
All right. We'll make a date.
Thank you, Tina. Jeez, quit being so rude.
I just told her. Would you rather she didn't know?
Hi, Pam. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
We're good.
Really good.
Yeah, I just got back yesterday from Custer State Park
in
the Black Hills of South Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
There lived a young boy named a Rocket Raccoon.
And we
Wendy
were...
breaks into song sometimes. We don't know why.
Okay. And we're surrounded by a wild herd of about 100 buffalo.
Now, tell them, because I was just thinking of this, Pam, when you mean surrounded, they come up and they lick your window, right?
Well, actually, it snowed really hard Friday night.
Yeah.
And we had all this road salt, which was on my vehicle. So as we're pulling in, they came up to the car and they started licking the entire car.
Like a big salt lick. That's so funny.
That's right. It was exactly right.
They didn't charge it all, though, right? No. I'm always afraid they didn't have
their credit cards.
Oh, good.
No, they did not.
Good.
But it was amazing. We got wonderful pictures, and we could feel, you know, a little bit of movement, a little bit of swaying in the car.
Yeah.
They got their head inside the wheel well. And the Custer State Park is a great place. I strongly and highly recommend it. We also had an area there where they call them the begging burrows.
What is that?
That they will stop you in the middle of the roadway, and you have to feed them carrots and apples before they will let you through.
What if you don't have carrots and apples on you?
Well, then you just they follow you and looking for them. They stick their head in your car. You can approach. We got actually out of the car around the burrows because they were friendly.
Yeah.
And we knew about this, so we came with 6 pounds of carrots.
This sounds like so much fun, but Pam, if you could see Bill's face, it's like this is what he envisions hell to be like.
Yeah, it's not for me. I could
see
where people... And I wear an outfit made of salt. This would be the worst place for me to go.
Not good. Definitely not.
All right, so the Black Hills of South Dakota.
Correct.
That's the place. All right.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yes, spring break.
Sure.
Awesome. Thank you, Pam.
Bye-bye, guys.
I'm not sure I'd like that.
History was made. No, that seems like I could see your face. Like, I would love it.
Yeah. It's not. No kidding, Bill. I haven't been there for a long, long time, but you just drive down this little road, and they're
everywhere?
It's like driving through sheep in Ireland, you know? It's just buffalo all over the road.
All right, you can also go to Neshoosa Grasslands, a prairie restoration project near Franklin Grove. This is about 95 miles west of Chicago. And history was made in April last year. The first wild bison was born in Illinois in about 2 centuries.
Really?
Yeah. They knew that some of the 30 bison that arrived at Nashua from Neshoosa, I don't know how to say it.
You're just making up words now.
They came from an Iowa preserve.
Now tell us the story in English.
All right. Neshoosa Grasslands. N-A-C-H.
I'm listening, Wendy.
You know what? They can just...
Come on. You didn't just make that up?
No buffalo rides for you guys.
Bison.
Bison.
Boy, you're Mr. Smart Aleck today, huh?
Who, Steve?
Yeah.
Why is it always
today?
Me?
Because you told that poor listener she missed a spot.
Did you see the spot?
Been helpful.
All right, we have to take a break. Cranky's got the news.
It's coming next. All right, Steve, thank you so much. I still have not seen a bison, Steve.
That's really hard for me to imagine.
I looked outside the window on Michigan Avenue over there during the news. I'm thinking there's got to be one or two coming. No, nothing.
Somebody said there's a whole herd of them in Lord's Park in Elgin.
Is there?
Yes. And somebody says, Wendy, I live near Neshusa, and you're saying it correctly.
Neshusa. All right. I thought you made...
Which time?
I thought you... Yeah, you did say it differently every time. So you, one of the times you got it. So congratulations. Oh, how about this? They're putting together a museum. That's called a segue. Hey, radio kids, that's called a segue. They're putting together a museum, and it's the National Museum of African American History and Culture. It's a great idea, right? Within the Museum of African American History and Culture, they are doing an exhibit that recognizes the work of a man named Bill Cosby. Familiar with Bill Cosby?
It's not the right time for
that. The timing is a little odd, right? People are upset, not that they're having an exhibit about Bill Cosby, because it's easy to say he has contributed certainly to African American history and culture. He has. I believe he. I'm almost positive he was the first African American actor on a regular television
I Spy.
It's hard to imagine.
I think
but
you're right.
I think he was the first. Right. It's. I mean, it's absurd, but it's true.
But.
Within the exhibit about Mr. Cosby's life and achievements, people are furious because they don't want to list any of what has been alleged to have taken place with him lately.
How does that work, though? Because sometimes when you go to a museum and you learn the history of, say, King Tut or something, you find out some things that aren't that good.
Right.
And you go, oh, he was a bad dude. Shut your mouth. So
talking about Tut. Well... Here's what I would do if I had a museum of African American history and culture. I might wait on the Bill Cosby exhibit
for
a while.
I wouldn't include him in this particular tier of it.
Well, here's what it says. If they speak about the contributions, there will be this enormous presence that is not talked about. This is according to a woman named Patricia Levy Stower. She is one of the women who has accused Mr. Cosby of assaulting her decades ago. She said this over the weekend. The entertainer's footprint will be small in the museum. It's not a museum dedicated to Bill Cosby. It's
what size shoe does he wear?
They don't talk about that. They don't mention that. It says it will showcase more than 3,000 artifacts overall, and it's open in September. This will be in Washington, D.C., The Bill Cosby section will include just a few objects that recognize his work as a comedian, his work on the television programs I Spy and The Cosby Show, not the one where he was Chet Kincaid, though. They're leaving that out for some reason, and his support of Black Hollywood stuntmen.
What?
I don't know why they chose to single that out. But you
Bill
think
Cosby was a fan of Black
Hollywood stuntmen. Huh. I didn't know that about him. But you would think that if they could find room to mention that Bill Cosby supported Black Hollywood stuntman, you could also say maybe there's other stories about
Bill
Cosby.
What do you say, though? What do you say?
I don't know.
He's allegedly drugged and raped...
countless women.
Yeah.
Right.
Do you put that in parentheses? Do you put that on the reverse side of the display card?
If you go to the Baseball Hall of Fame in New York, in Cooperstown, New York, there's a lot of guys in the Hall of Fame in baseball that did some bad things. Not as bad as Bill Cosby is alleged to have done, but you hear stories about various guys who are superstars in that sport or other sports. And there's nothing on Ty Cobb's plaque that talks about what a horrible human being he was, you know?
Well,
I would leave him out of the museum for the time being, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you go, there's a lot of other people who have contributed to African American history and culture that we can feature that don't have this kind of a smudge on their record. Even though he's contributed, I don't want to take that away from him. But you know the guilt, we've talked about the guilt that we feel. I can't watch a Cosby show right now. If it were to come on TV right now... There was a time where I'd go, I'll sit through a little bit of this. Let's see what he's got. I can't do it now.
Was it last year when I went to Disney and took my picture, or 2 years ago?
Last year.
And took my picture with his bust that's at the...
He would have taken a picture with yours. He would have.
But I was shocked that it was still there, and I took a picture, and then they took it down fairly soon thereafter.
Right.
Because I was shocked it was still up.
Right.
He shouldn't be included in this museum at this point.
I wonder what the thought process was. And again, it's hard to take away his achievements. It really is. But what has gone on lately, I hate to say it, but it so overshadows all the good that he's done that if I were on the board of regents at the African American History and Culture Museum, I'd go, hey, you know what? Let's lay low on Bill Cosby for a while.
A little controversial right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Is he going to be in there for
How about Martin Lawrence? Let's put up a Martin Lawrence exhibit.
Maybe not as many achievements in his career,
right.
But still.
How about
some.
Urkel? Can we put an Urkel exhibit
in? Oh, I'm
all
for Urkel.
I would like to see Urkel get a little mention. But,
he would get a little mention.
I know. All right. Let's take a quick break, and then we have a little bit more. Hang on. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Are you in the mood for a math quiz? You want a math quiz? It's just one question.
Yes.
One question.
I love doing story problems and math questions.
This is exactly what this is. It's a story problem, and it's a math question. And, Wendy, it says here that it's taken the internet by storm. That's how good this question is. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to read you the question, and I think you're going to have the same answer that I had and that the student had. They don't say in the story how old this kid is, but I'm going to say, because you start learning about fractions in about fifth or sixth grade, don't you? Is that when you start learning about fractions?
I don't remember when I learned, but yeah.
But you enjoy fractions, don't you?
I like doing math problems
right.
A lot. I just can't do math on the fly.
Well, you don't have to.
I don't like to do it in my head. Like when the pizza guy's at the door,
yeah.
I have to know in advance how much it's going to be so I can prearrange my tip.
I get it.
Because I can't do it on the fly. But I got my pen.
You have a piece
ready.
Of paper?
Yep.
Do you have a number two
Let's
pencil?
Go.
All right. This is the math.
Ticonderoga.
This is the math question that has, it says here, I'm not making this up, that it has taken the internet by storm. This is how it works. This is either a fifth grade or a sixth grade math question. Here it is. Marty ate 4/6 of a pizza, and Luis ate 5/6 of his pizza. Marty ate more pizza than Luis. How is this possible? So again, just to reiterate, if you guys are doing this in your own homes, Marty ate 4/6 of his pizza. Luis ate 5/6 of his pizza. Marty, the guy who ate 4/6, ate more pizza than Luis. How is this possible? Now give me your answer.
Marty's pizza was bigger.
All right. Your answer is exactly what this kid put in the problem, in the classroom. He said simply, Marty's pizza is bigger than Luis's pizza. But the teacher told him that that is wrong, that's wrong. That's the only way. The teacher explained that 5/6 is larger than 4/6, but she never, within the context of the question.
Oh, I guess.
Said
yeah.
So she's trying
to
trick
this kid. Yeah, but 4/6 turns into 2/3.
Right.
So that's what I did.
5/6 will always be bigger than 4/6. That's not an issue. That's forever. 5/6 will always be bigger than 4/6. But the kid is just saying, yeah, but if one pizza is the size of a manhole cover and the other pizza is the size of a dime, then that's how he ate more. But the teacher marked him as being wrong.
Well, he is wrong.
He's
I'm
not wrong,
wrong too, but why did I, you know, make 4/6 2/3? I don't know. I'm thinking, okay,
it
that's
is.
2/3. I know, but then I'm looking at it and then, see, I'm confused.
No, you didn't need to change the fraction.
What's
regardless,
that called? Because I can't
fraction
think of it.
Changing.
No,
I
can't even
minimizing.
Think of...
Is it minimizing?
I don't know.
Something like that. But that's not even the issue. The issue is if she's going to put this word problem down for this kid, this poor kid, by the way, who's traumatized, hadn't been back to school since. He's given up on his scholastic
well,
career.
Well, he was wrong. 'Cause
she needed to. I think she needed to say. Marty's pizza and Luis's pizza are the same size.
Well, that should have been in the question.
She didn't put that, though. If you put that, then you have an argument. But if without that,
there's also are they cut in perfect sixths? Because if it's like not exactly the same size,
right.
Well, yeah, a piece could be bigger. Because God, I hate when the pieces are not uniform. That
no,
is really
but
bothersome.
I think just by virtue of the breakdown of 4/6 and 5/6, regardless of the size of the pieces, it's still going to be 4/6 and 5/6.
Right.
Right? The issue is, and I'm on this kid's side, and he should get an attorney and sue this teacher.
I'll work with him because I said the exact same thing. I'm like, oh, I got it. Marty's pizza was bigger. I thought it was a trick question.
It was a trick. The teacher was trying to make it a trick question because her answer is, it's not. Here's what she writes exactly. This poor kid whose life is ruined.
Oh,
I mean,
he'll never
rebound from this. He said exactly what you said. Marty's pizza is bigger than Luisa's pizza. So then the teacher, this mean shrew of a teacher, puts, this is not possible, jerk, she puts.
She did not.
It's vague on how she worded it. This is not possible because 5/6 is greater than 4/6, so Luis ate more. So she's trying to screw with this kid. She's throwing out an impossible answer. Well, she's trying to trick him.
She is not. The kid messed up.
She should have clearly said the pizzas were the same size. She's at fault here. Next case.
I want you to be my judge, my jury, and executioner.
I would gladly
actually
be all of those.
Because I'm telling you, if I go into a courtroom and you are my judge, you are so kind.
But you know what I mean? Like, this kid was thinking logically. He goes, well, there must be. She wouldn't put this on a. She wouldn't put this on a sheet if there's not an answer. And she even said, how is this possible? So it must be possible. So he picked the only right possible answer, really. And she slammed them. No, you
but it's
doofus.
Wrong.
You're wrong.
It's creative, but it's not. Math is not creative.
No, math is not.
I mean, if there's a right or wrong
answer.
No,
I know. But she, you know what I mean, right? She should have prefaced it by saying, the pizzas are the exact same size. She didn't do that.
Right, because what I did is I minimized it or whatever and made it Marty ate 2/3 of a pizza, Luis ate 5/6.
Right.
So who's having...
The teacher should lose 5/6 of her pension.
Vito, what are you thinking? It's about
teacher,
pizza?
Teacher. Oh, I need to know, Bill and Wendy.
Yes.
Was it a stuffed pizza or a thin?
What
was on it?
Right.
Was it pie cut or square cut?
Oh.
See, if it's grid or pie, you know,
those
seriously.
Those are all great questions. It doesn't say.
And
it doesn't.
And Wendy, what weighs more, a pound of feathers or a pound of lead?
Do you know the answer
They're
to this?
They're exactly equal because it's a pound
of pound
each.
Is the same. Yep. Yeah.
I hope you don't give me any lead shoes, Vito.
Vito, those are excellent questions, and they're not to be answered within the context of the story, unfortunately.
And what did they win, a slice of pizza?
Yeah, they each got a slice of pizza.
And their parents own pizzerias.
Nick and Vito's. Hey, right. Maybe you could represent him. Are you an attorney by any chance?
Yes, and I own a couple of pizzerias in the city. So let's bring these kids in and see what happens.
All right. All right, we'll do that. Thank you, Vito.
Hold on.
All right, hold on.
We'll
listen
be
for our answer.
To what?
I don't know. It's up to him.
All right, Scott, everyone is kind of believing in you, Bill.
Well, because it's worded.
You're nice.
I want this kid to succeed, and this teacher is obviously out to ruin him and shame him.
Hi, Scott. What do you think?
Well, it depends upon the size of the pizzas.
Yes.
If one was a 12-inch and one was a 14-inch,
right.
Clearly that size difference wouldn't be adequate.
Right.
But if one was a 24-inch and the other was an 8-inch, then 2/3 of the 24-inch would be certainly greater than 5/6 of the 8-inch.
Yep.
So you need to understand
The details.
Right.
The area of the circle.
Right.
And how much was left. And quite honestly, at this age, my pi r squared math fails me. But
pizza pi r squared.
You got it. There you go.
Thank you so much, Scott.
Scott.
I was just learning about circumference and radius. And what is it? The radius is half the circumference. And what times pi equals... I don't even remember.
You were learning about this recently?
Well, no, because Dylan had homework, and I was learning. The circumference is all the way around the circle. The radius is half of the diameter.
Yeah.
And to figure out the circumference, you take the radius times 3.14, and it gives you the circumference. I'm like, oh, my God, I completely forgot about that.
Well, yeah.
How does that always happen?
It's a miracle.
It is a miracle. Hi, Virginia.
Hi.
What do you think, Virginia?
Well, I think the teacher asked the wrong question. I think she didn't answer that she wanted. My phrasing might be slightly different than what it read on the paper, but she asked, how is this possible?
Right.
The question should have been, is this?
Right.
Because
so
is
true.
4/6 more than, you know, which one is large? Which one is larger? Which one?
But even then, the answer is, yes, it is possible if the pizzas are different sizes, right?
Oh, I see where you're going.
Yes, but I think the assumption is that in math, it's absolute. So 4/6 is always going to be smaller than 5/6.
Yeah.
Because you're assuming that the original start position is equal.
Right.
But that's not what she asked. So she asked, how is this possible? So find a solution that makes this possible.
And he found the solution.
And it came back to bite him.
Right. And she was incorrect because she did not choose the proper language to ask the question.
Right. And she should lose her job and move to Siberia, right? I think she should.
Home of the Siberian unicorn.
Right. Right.
Virginia, thank you so much for calling. Vito, why are you still on hold?
Just to see if he'd come back to me.
We did.
And it worked. It's a math question.
Yeah. Right.
If Vito holds on the line for 3 minutes, will you come back to him?
And we did. You were right.
You can hang up now.
Thanks, Vito.
No, I have to wait.
For what?
Don't I get a prize for the last call of the day?
We're not giving those out.
Yeah, there's some prizes. If I get 4/6 of the prize closet.
Yeah.
All right, hang on. Ro will take this call.
Get you a prize. We'll get you something.
He's still hanging.
All right, we'll be back after this. Bill and Wendy, WGN.